Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 222. Wasn't that a TV show? I just looked down and saw the number.
I was gonna have the theme ready.
Oh, were you? I'm sorry, Dave. But yeah, I just looked down and saw the number and it just made me laugh. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't looking at Adam at all this time. I probably won't look at him during the podcast.
No one said anything. No one did anything. No one started laughing.
I did it to myself. I apologize.
They don't know anything about Room 222.
I do not.
You don't. They're young. They're young, Dave.
Karen Valentine.
It's... I'm not young. I feel really old.
I'm in my 30s, man.
Yeah.
It's not young.
Yeah.
I'm not 50, but...
I'm not 50 either.
I didn't say a word. I said I'm not 50.
Okay.
Why would you even mention your age? No one's talking about you.
Who mentioned Colin. Who mentioned 60? What?
60? That's a stretch.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah.
You were the 60-year-old hat.
That's mean. Yeah.
I like my hat.
Yeah. But I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Josh.
Dave.
Pat.
Adam.
MacGyver.
I feel like Cap and his kooky quartet. Quintet.
Quintet.
Okay. That just sounds very 70s. That's, you know.
I was feeling soothed.
Yeah. Were you upset before that, Josh?
I watched the MacGyver teaser.
Oh, okay.
That didn't make me happy. MacGyver?
Okay. But yeah, this was a weird week, this last week.
I hope the entire podcast, you just fade that in a little bit. Fade it back out when things start to get a little tense. Fade it in.
But you gotta do it enough that it doesn't, you know, violate copyright stuff.
It won't drive you crazy.
It's for educational purposes.
Okay.
But yeah, this week, jumping on your news a little bit, Pat, we lost a real major player in the comics industry,
yeah,
and it was
yeah.
a real surprise.
Yeah.
I went to, Sandy had to have her car in for just regular service, and so we went out to lunch, and then she dropped me back here because she was taking my car to run around until it was done. And so I got here probably about 9:30, and I just really did not want to. I was just in kind of low content mode. I didn't feel like really doing anything. So I just kind of sat down in the chair. I was, you know, goofing on my phone, and then I looked at the table, and Twilight Children came out last week. And I realized I had never read the last two issues. I never finished it. And I'd sold out, I think, of one of the issues. And so I just never finished. I'm like, well, you know what? Here, I'll finish it. And I went to the middle of the... You know, I think I read the whole thing again. And then afterwards, I got on my phone and like just back onto Facebook. And Nick Borelli had posted, "My thoughts are with Darwin Cook." And I'm just like, what? Now, Darwin Cook drew
Twilight Children
yeah. Written by Gilbert Hernandez. And the art was just... I didn't understand the story at all, but the art
was
fantastic.
The story, yeah, is a really wacky sci-fi.
No, it was, yeah.
It's
cool. Wasn't bad.
You feel lost the entire time, and
yeah.
I feel like that's kind of intentional.
Yeah. But the art
But it's
was
more about, like,
beautiful.
The people and the interactions and everything, but
yeah.
The art is incredible.
And so then I Googled Darwin Cook and come up with that he'd gone into Palette of Care, and I go, then had to Google Palette of Care because I didn't know what that
yeah.
meant. And so with that, I'm like, well, that's not good.
Right.
And just, it was just, I mean,
it was
just
like
so
Friday,
weird going
yeah, Friday,
from...
you see that, and
yeah.
then Saturday was
yeah.
the news, and it was like,
but just
wow.
just going from reading that book to that, it was just,
yeah.
whoa. And then Saturday, getting up, reading that he had passed, it just, I was bummed all day.
And people
Saturday.
Don't believe it. Like, you posted that he had passed... And I was about to message you and say, I don't think he passed yet, because people were saying, like, he's just in this care, he didn't actually...
No, I had shared something that did seem a little
yeah.
bit early. The main reason I shared that one post was because after that part saying he had passed, just the art they included
mm-hmm.
was just spectacular. And I just wanted to share that art to get that out there. And then I made, Adam and I made the little display of the stuff, just only because I just wanted to make sure that people who might not have seen his stuff, didn't know who he was, saw it, because it is so
and it's
good.
And it's so distinguishable.
Oh, absolutely.
As soon as you look
yeah.
at it, you know.
Just
and then,
amazing.
Like, all the, what was it, October of last year, DC? The
yeah,
whole
yeah,
long
did a whole month.
Those covers were incredible.
Yeah.
yeah.
And,
every single one was incredible.
There were books that I never read that I got just because
just
I
the
like
cover,
the
cover. Yeah.
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 And then even now, he was doing the covers for all the Silver Age reprint books.
Yep.
Like the Justice League Silver Age, even the Golden Age stuff, he was doing all the cover art on those. So it's just, and even like Vito Del Sante, who was here for a signing day, is a friend of his. He had no idea because he never mentioned it. He didn't talk about it. So yeah, it was just such a loss that you just don't think about. And, you
yeah.
know,
yeah.
and everybody knew.
It was just so sudden.
Yeah, and well, I remember.
And he was only, what, 53?
53, yeah,
so
which makes me
like,
feel.
Yeah. No, but I mean, that's, you know, it. If Stan Lee die tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, the guy's in his 90s. Again, going with Collins.
And they would jump on you.
Going with Collins thing?
No, but at 93, like, okay, I kind of get that. But this guy, I mean, he's young. Yeah. He's in his early 50s.
Like, still working, still in the middle of projects.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
At the age of 90, it isn't a surprise.
Right.
That was like my only point.
But it's how you said it.
Yeah, it's how you said it.
Okay. But... Yeah, so it was just... And it
leave Colin alone!
Yeah. It brings me back to when... Shoot. Who was the static and the video guy that died really suddenly?
Dwayne McDuffie.
Yes, when he died. I think he died sometime around the time Gene Colan did, or right before. Because I remember I made a point to send an email to Gene Colan's agent. Just to kind of pass along my little Gene story about my dad and how important he was to me. Just realizing that if you do have somebody that you like and you appreciate, let them know, because you don't know.
I remember when Mike Waringo died. It's been 10 years already. I was just looking it up here. He was only 43 or 44 years old.
But you never get a chance to say thank you again. Like, luckily I met Stan back in like 2000 and was able to thank him for my childhood. So
yeah.
I'm good there. But it was important to me to do that.
Stan's your dad?
No, thank you for my for the enjoyment.
Not existent.
As an only child, I read a lot of comic books.
He didn't have brothers. He had Peter Parker.
Pretty much. Actually, it's probably Archie more. Like when I was 8.
Are you an only child?
Okay. Yeah.
That explains some
things. So there you go. I shared today. I think I did a really nice thing today.
What did you share today?
The only book that I was... Well, not the only book, but the book I was most excited about was the Frank Miller Dark Knight Returns Artist Edition. Came out. I actually stopped. I opened it, I think, at lunch. I opened it, went through every page.
Did you sell your copy?
I sold my copy. Guy wanted it. So, I do share.
That's not
a good
sharing
share.
As much as yourself another capitalist in you.
But if I wasn't able to, I'd live. But I think I've told the story where a copy of Iron Man number 1 came in. Gene Colan cover. Book I've always wanted. And somebody, I think it was Lytle, asked. He's like, well, you know, what's it worth? I'm like, well, this guy, it's not in the best shape, but it's worth about $75. And he went, I'll give you $75. And it was a book I'd wanted since high school. I'd always wanted this book. And I didn't even hesitate selling it. And it's just like, okay. That was at the point I realized I was no longer a collector. So. A guy called, asked if I had an extra. I said, yes, I have an extra. And then when he came in, he's like, do you have two? Because I want to get two. And I didn't even hesitate. Here's mine. So
This guy also could have ordered one in, right, from you?
Yeah, I could have ordered one. Well, but I didn't know at the time. I had not checked the computer. But I try to bend over backwards for you guys. I try to be nice.
But anyway,
Darwin Cook.
Huge loss.
Well, and the big thing is, if there's someone that you like, let them know. You know, because it's nothing worse than being too late, saying, oh, I always meant to send him a note, especially with...
It's easier than ever.
Oh, my gosh. Even Frank Miller's on Twitter. So,
yeah.
Just a quick note. Like, I actually, in the new... I've talked with Steve Root a couple times. One time, he sent me a little ash can with a note wrote on a post-it note. Now, I've been a fan of Steve Root for a long time. The early first comics and Pacific comics with Nexus and stuff.
Nexus, yeah.
So he sent me an ash can. It was like, you know, nice talking to you and stuff. It was like, that was awesome. So in Future Quest that came out today, he did 7 pages, including one that is just awesome. And awesome Steve Root, who's very dynamic action kind of guy. So I tweeted to him saying just, you know, how awesome that was, unexpected and just awesome. But just... I don't care if he responds or not. He's going to, hopefully he sees it and goes, wow, somebody likes my stuff. That's important.
I read a review of that Future Quest today, and the reviewer was mad because it was the first issue, and they already had a fill-in artist. And I'm like, it's Steve Aru.
Yeah, it may have been fill-in, but I think the story turned at that point, and I think it was doing that. But who cares?
I know.
Maybe Darwin was supposed to do something and couldn't, and just nobody knew. Especially because I know Steve Root is very meticulous. There was a problem with one of his... He had a painted piece in one of the Nexus books. Like, it was only like 8 pages. But it took him over a year because he painted the whole thing and wasn't happy with it, scrapped it, started again, and he's just totally OCD and has some problems in that.
So not someone you would call at the last minute.
No, no. So yeah, he was not a last minute filler. Right. So yeah, but it was on. I didn't expect it until I read the credits, and it was nice. Also, at the bottom of the credits, in that it says special thanks to Darwin Cook, but clearly this was printed before he died, so that was always planned to be there. Because I think he was one of the spurring things. But I will say to Doc Shaner, is he has a very Darwin Cook-esque style. Yeah. So I hope he picks up that
His cover that looks mantle. Like it could have been Darwin.
So I really hope he kind of picks up that mantle and runs with it.
Yeah. Okay. No one else really, I mean, Doc Shaner and I used to, but to me, it seemed like no one else had that same style.
Mm-mm. And it was interesting reading, you know, of course I read a lot about him. I didn't really know a ton about him other than like New Frontier. The Parker stuff was great. The first Parker book, they sent me a preview copy, a hardcover. Mm-hmm. But it was interesting because the books are printed on a yellowish paper. And the one I got was printed on white paper. And what it has, there's no coloring in it, but there's shading done with blue. But on the yellow paper, it looks more of a bluish gray. But on the white paper, it was like bright blue. And I remember reading it going, this is a really odd color choice. Why would you do this? But this was one of the first things I ever read. But it was very interesting seeing that he started out in animation.
Yeah.
And you can really see that in his drawings. You can see the Batman animated series look.
I really responded to some ad that Bruce Timm put out about the different shows that were going on.
Matt Todd had a great story on his Facebook page about meeting Darwin Cook. He met him at a con. Matt wrote a book. And he went up to him and asked if he could give him a copy. And he said, are you coming to my panel? We'll come give me one after the panel. So Matt goes to the panel and afterwards goes up. And Darwin Cook pulled out his Sharpie and had him sign it to him. And I just thought that was classy. But the other thing he said is, how old are you? And Matt said, 29. He says, good, you're starting off much better than I did. So he did start late to get into this. So. Mm-hmm. Just neat. So there's always hope. You know, when you see, you know, how much Stan did before 40 and stuff, it makes you go, wow, you know, I really slacking at him. So that's all I had to say about Darwin Cook. I just definitely wanted to address it. It's funny because looking at his bibliography, he didn't do a ton of stuff. Like he did a lot of covers and things, pinups and stuff, but his actual production wasn't huge. It was like New Frontier, The Spirit, The Catwoman, The Parker stuff.
He did some the Watchmen.
Yeah, he did the before Watchmen, the Minutemen one. Yep.
Yeah, which actually you just had, I guess a temperature sale maybe or something else. Some sale we had box outside.
Oh yeah, and you got the dollar books. They're probably still over there.
I picked up. I think the last. Okay. You were missing. I think you only had one of the issues. Okay. When I grabbed the last.
I got a complete set of the Minutemen.
Yeah, I did too.
If you need one, I think Rich actually sold me back a full run of that.
Okay.
Of the whole before Watchmen. But yeah, just very distinctive, beautiful, just absolutely beautiful. So he will be missed. And the outpouring from the other creators and stuff has been very good to see.
Had a great impact on everyone in the industry. I watched last night a video from that WonderCon panel from a couple years ago where it was like no holds barred questions. Where he talked very, you know, bluntly about DC and Marvel, you know, the chance of, you know, working with Grant Morrison, but turning it down because he didn't want to continue being typecast as the guy that was just doing, you know, the Silver Age characters, talking about his, like, falling out with Marvel over them kind of stealing some ideas from him.
I didn't know that.
It's really interesting, like, 20-minute long.
Okay.
Maybe it was longer. It was, like, 45 minutes.
Yeah, if you can find a link, we'll send it to you. Put it on the podcast, yeah. Or put it on the page. Uh-huh. We'll put it on the actual podcast.
I can put it on the page, too.
Okay.
I
think well, that's true. Yeah. Well, I think I have access. You probably have a better ability to do it properly, too.
Yeah.
Not that my internet skills are not outstanding. But
they are. You turned your phone sideways earlier and fixed
made it work.
The website.
Yeah.
Most people wouldn't have tried that. So you're...
Okay, so I get bonus points for that? Okay, you're not just mocking me?
I'm not mocking you.
Okay.
Not at all.
It's because the first computer I used had punch cards. So.
Do you still use that computer?
No, I do not. That was in junior high school.
It's fine.
Okay. So, nice. So after my downer opening, no, although, but I mean, it is a downer opening that he passed. But I guess what I'm trying to say, let's celebrate. You know, get it, yeah. You know, read his stuff. Sadly, I was looking for the New Frontier. I know I have the animated movie. I must have taken it home. But yeah, I really should have had that playing Saturday when I thought about it. But.
Do you have a Superman statue? Like, didn't you for yourself buy his Superman statue?
I don't remember him doing one. He had a Batman. I don't remember him doing a Superman.
Man of Steel statue.
No. I wonder. Let's see if it's available.
I have it at home. But it came out, I want to say, in the fall, maybe? It's the New Frontier.
Oh, okay. Superman. Very cool.
I'll look for it real quick while Pat starts news.
Okay. A few things. So, Agent Carter was canceled.
Yeah.
Which, that was kind of a downer. But the other part of that is the Marvel's Most Wanted is not going to get picked right. up. Which, I hope that means they'll bring Mockingbird back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because she was kind of like the only character I cared about at that point. But that is what it is. Supergirl is now moving to the CW.
It's even on sale.
I thought you had it personally. Mm-hmm.
And they're also,
sorry, Pat.
No, it's all right. And
I know I have his Batman Black and White. Sorry.
Moving to Vancouver to shoot. Now, one of the things that you said about that was when CBS was running it, it was a $3 million per episode show, and it's not going to stay that way. So we may lose Martian Manhunter and some of that stuff.
What do they spend on Flash?
I don't know.
Because Flash, the effects on Flash are pretty solid.
Some. Last night's episode, it had some problems.
I didn't see it.
I mean, nothing horrible, but there was one particular scene where he was rescuing the lady that runs Mercury Labs, and it was very clearly CGI, and it was very clearly not great CGI. I get that it's a TV show, but generally, you know, they made King Shark work. Mm-hmm. I would have liked to have
worked
seen it.
Well,
yeah.
Worked pretty well,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, so that was, you know, kind of disappointing.
I think that show will do better on CW.
I do, too. And
yeah, my only concern is budget. That's all.
Well,
that's why CBS didn't want it. So.
Well, CBS is paying a hefty licensing fee as well.
To who?
I guess to
DC?
Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
Oh, Warner's? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because CW is owned partially
by Warner and CBS.
Right, yeah. So you think they would give them a little break?
No.
And then there is, I saw some buzz about the talk about them bringing back Constantine. Just, I think it's more fan buzz, but it's like, hey, if you already have all of these comic book shows, why not bring back that one that was fairly effective?
Yeah, but at that point, then CW become just the DC
channel.
Well,
now, and that's what I was going to say, because the next thing I had was the Archie show Riverdale got picked up, and that's also on CW.
Is it? Okay.
So, you know, now at this point, they've got five comic book shows.
Well, then Powerless is going to be on NBC.
NBC, yeah. Right, yeah. Which, I mean, that won't last.
Doesn't make any difference in
the
day and age, though. Made
no, and the reason why, because Constantine didn't last.
Yeah, but this is a comedy. And it looks like it's going to be very much like The Office.
I don't know. I guess they still got to pay the licensing and everything else. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. I don't know. It got picked up for a series already.
Yeah.
And it looks like they are, from what I heard about the pilot, they have no problem referencing the movie stuff. Because they were talking immediately about the destruction from Batman v
Superman,
and even
yeah.
showing images that looked like they were images from the movie that were just altered a bit for the show.
Okay. Oh. That would be cool if they could do that.
It has some big name people in it. Well, not huge name, but bigger in the geek community.
Yeah. So there's been a bit of DC movie news, including Geoff Johns has now been made the co-head of DC Films.
Which it's yay and oh.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with it.
Because I just saw, like, there was a headline where he wants to bring hope back to the DC universe, and I hope the first thing he does is get rid of Snyder.
Zach, not Scott.
But the problem,
yeah, Zach, no.
No, but the problem but, is they're already shooting Justice League. They can't fire him in the middle of the
movie. Oh, sure they can. Happens all the time.
No, they can't because they have that date they want to hit, and they can't start over at this
Things
point.
Change.
Eh.
But my bigger concern is who's now overseeing the comics. Because if it now reverts to Jim Lee, I think we're in trouble. Nothing against Jim, but I just don't see...
initiative yeah. starting right now is Jeff Johns'
right.
initiative.
Right.
But I think this is where Jeff Johns wants to be.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, it's bigger. Like I was talking to Jermaine earlier of Acme Comics down in Greensboro, North Carolina, and mentioned that the budget, the income from one movie probably is more than 10 years worth of the comics, if yeah. not more. So that's where the big it's going to be.
He says he's still going to be very involved with the comics.
I'm hopeful. Or at least, you know, I realize he wasn't going to be writing and maybe he's just overseeing. And my hope was just because one of my concerns was the New 52 devolved into little editorial fiefdoms very quickly. Yeah. And I was hoping that he would be a guiding force on that to keep that from happening. But if he's not going to be there now, he might not be, yeah. and that could happen again. Because you have somebody like Bob Harris, who's in charge of everything, but yeah. he had his own problems. He got ousted from Marvel because of his cronyism, and he's brought a lot of his people in. You know, when you saw, you know, well, originally Liefeld, but he's since left, but, you know, Fabian Nicieza doing stuff, Scott Lobdell doing stuff. It's like he's falling into old tropes. I just hope the editorial can be more hands-off and let the writers let the write, yeah, let the creators create.
But I think that's the only concern. This is something that Warner's had to do. They had to,
oh, absolutely.
They had to have
I commend them for realizing there was a problem yeah. and doing it.
Well, but this is a step that they're apparently doing across their board. Like, there's kind of like a Lego movie czar. There's
already
a fantasy movie czar.
I think they were already doing that for the other aspects.
Right. They just, that's what I'm saying. This yeah. is, they're just putting it in line, but they already had somebody yeah. in-house that, yeah, he knows this, let him run it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a second head with him, John Berg, who came from their movie division.
Yeah.
So he knows the movie side, and then Jeff Johns is there the just to do the comics.
Makes a lot of sense. It makes more sense than just having this director kind of build the entire, you know, universe.
Yeah. And it's a, you know,
a very divisive
Feige
director.
Feige has mm-hmm. been yeah. very good at running that, especially, you know...
How the hell do you say his last name?
I say it's either Feige or Feig or
Feig. I think it's Feig.
I don't know. I've heard it pronounced 100 times.
Now, is he related to the guy doing Ghostbusters? The Paul Feig?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
He just has...
No, Paul I think it's spelled
Feig
different.
E.
Yeah, oh, okay. That, yeah. Okay, yeah. I just know they're very similar names. Well, not people. I don't know.
Very similar people.
I don't know.
Hopefully, the first thing Jeff Johns corrects is that they kind of said who the Justice League villain is, and it's going to be Steppenwolf.
Okay, I can live with that.
But I think that's a mistake.
Why? Nobody knows who
that's why.
Well, but do you want to
They don't have to know who the villain is.
Yeah, I don't. I don't want. They don't need him to blow their big gun in the first movie. Let's build up to.
But you can have a, you know, dark side. Because you also always have Brainiac in your back pocket.
But, like, Guardians didn't go Thanos. They yeah. went Ronan.
And,
yeah.
you know,
it's almost better to do a lesser-known villain because then you don't have as many people critiquing every single little thing about him.
I can see that. And the other...
And the little... You saw the little teaser, the cut scene.
Yeah.
Right, but, that's the problem was, had that been left in the movie...
Might have helped.
Yeah, that would have helped a lot. But you took that out of the movie, and now
I don't know why, but yeah.
Yeah, because that actually made a lot... It made the ending make a lot more sense.
Yeah, but that movie was so...
It was poorly
confusing already.
Speaking of movies, I'll get to something else later.
Okay.
I watched a movie that I hadn't watched.
Okay.
Comic book movie.
The Rocketeer.
No. Oh, I love The Rocketeer.
Rocketeer's a great movie.
No, Fantastic Four, the new one.
Oh, I saw that Saturday.
It's on HBO. Okay, then I won't talk about it, but watch it. Honestly, sorry, not trying to hide.
No, if they didn't call it Fantastic Four, it was a good sci-fi movie.
But you know what? It was Ultimate Fantastic Four. And if you accept that going in, it's Ultimate Fantastic Four, not your regular Fantastic Four. It was fine. It wasn't great. It wasn't the best movie I ever saw. But there was the hate and venom directed at it. I don't understand it. It was a fine.
Because you called it Fantastic Four,
I agree.
It was the Ultimate Fantastic Four.
I almost wonder, like, how would movies like Batman v Superman and Fantastic Four be received pre-internet?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, because even in 89, a lot of people bitched about Keaton being cast as Batman.
They left it on
the table. Yeah, but that's just it. There wasn't the whole... There wasn't the route for them to go to blast it the same
way. But their hate was...
He's a comic actor.
Was grounded in something specific.
Yeah.
They saw Batman, they saw Keaton, they didn't think it meshed.
They saw Mr. Wrong.
Their hate wasn't fueled because they wanted to jump on a bandwagon. It was fueled because they truly didn't think Keaton was going to be good for this role.
But
whereas Batman v Superman, a lot of the hate was because people just... It was popular to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll sound really cool if I sit here and take a crap on this movie on Twitter and my blog.
Well, that's a lot. No, with
the Fantastic
and
my mom's Four, friends. Though, that wasn't bandwagon hopping as much. Everything I saw, it just didn't
Fantastic
look
Four good. Was a different story.
And, well, like, when I watched it...
I don't know. I hated on it. I didn't see it.
But that's what I'm saying. Everything that I saw, like all the trailers and all that, nothing in there made me say, I really want to see this movie. But it came on HBO, so I watched it. And I'm like, if you didn't call it Fantastic Four, it wasn't a bad movie.
Yeah.
But I felt the same way about the G.I. Joe movie. If you didn't call it G.I. Joe, it was a fine, cheesy popcorn action movie.
Yeah, I didn't hate that movie.
But if... You know, it just wasn't
even the
what
second
I,
one I didn't hate.
But it wasn't what I grew up with.
I didn't hate the second one.
I haven't seen the second
Bruce Willis was very, like, stiff in the second one, but...
But that's Bruce Willis.
But The Rock, I mean...
Oh, yeah.
The Rock, he's so damn likable.
Oh, yeah.
And everything.
He took on an earthquake. And,
Like, I didn't watch that movie because I'm not interested in that movie, but I'm sure if I did, I would like him in it, at least.
San Andreas.
I can't think of a single thing that I've disliked The Rock in.
No? Tooth Fairy.
He's fun in The Tooth Fairy.
I never saw Tooth Fairy.
Yeah. He has the HBO show Ballers. The show's not great, but he's good in it.
I see that one with Kevin Hart in it. One where he's like CIA and he meets up with a friend from high school. Mm. Yeah, it looks pretty funny.
One other thing at DC News, they've apparently already said Harley is going to get a spinoff.
Of course.
Hard to see that coming.
Yeah, exactly. They'll do whatever they can, I think, to tie up Margot Robbie.
Hopefully get that out before Black Widow.
Well, or Captain Marvel.
Yeah. Well, just so more people can, you know,
complain. Yeah.
I saw Bleeding Cool. She had a fantastic American Psycho, tribute kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, I read that.
For, like, Vogue
it.
Australia.
Yeah.
It was...
Okay.
Like, the video, like, she was doing... like Christian Bale's whole like monologue thing, and it was just fantastic.
The one right before he killed who was it? I forget who the actor was. But
like talking about, you know, his breakfast, like his whole routine, like that monologue.
Yeah,
it was great.
Let's see, on the Marvel side, there was a couple people added.
And she's producer for that movie too.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, she's producer on the Harley Quinn movie.
Huh.
And they were talking about it's supposed to feature a lot of the female villains and heroes, so like Batgirl's supposed to be in it.
Yeah, kind of like a Birds of Prey.
Birds of Prey, yeah.
Birds of Prey, yeah.
Gotham City Sirens a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And immediately people on the message boards were
very
divided
DC
about the
superhero
aspect
girls.
Of focusing on girls and whatnot.
You know what? They had a story on, and this actually came out the other day. Shane Black had said that they had changed. Originally, the villain of Iron Man 3 was supposed to be a woman. And they came up with, you know, I said, nope, not going to happen. Girls don't sell toys. You're not going to do this. But I thought about this for a second. So, Supergirl, if you have none, punch her in the face, it's okay. He's already a villain. These movies are all set up, certainly similar formula, you know, there's a formula to them. And there has to be a big fight at the end. Tony Stark punching a woman in the face... probably not going to fly that well.
What if it's Gwyneth Paltrow?
Yeah.
You want him to punch her in the face.
No, Gwyneth Paltrow.
No,
Philly.
No, but I mean, that to me would be a bigger concern. Like, it's okay to have a woman-led movie where she's the hero, because if she gets hit, well, they're already the villain anyway, that's okay, but to have the hero, you know, Captain America beating up a woman, I just don't see how that's going to go over real well. Forget about action figure sales.
It depends how she's portrayed.
Maybe, but Madame Mask worked well as a villain in Agent Carter, because Agent Carter beat her up. No big deal. Wait,
yeah, I can see it beating up like Sen.
I don't think I disagree. I mean, I don't think I agree with you, Pat. I think if it's done properly, I don't think it's going to look like
if
it's just some dude.
If you can't root for the villain and be like, oh, I like that villain in this movie, or, I think you can take somebody. Yeah, I think it depends on how you make the character.
People don't mind whenever Deadpool
they hate
and,
that character,
Colossus
they're
going
to like to see Captain America beat him whichever way.
Yeah, okay.
Like James
but even
Bond.
There, well, Colossus is a different story.
You're going to say Deadpool's a...
Yeah, I would say Deadpool is an anti-hero. I wouldn't... Yeah, that's... Yeah, okay.
Like James Bond.
Well, that, and I guess, yeah. It
and you're
going to
see Psylocke this weekend in X-Men.
Next weekend?
This weekend.
Is it this weekend?
It's this weekend, right?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I thought it was next weekend.
Yeah, I thought it was next weekend. I didn't think
man, this movie keeps...
Jumping all over the place.
I don't know.
I thought for sure it was the 20.
I think it's the Friday before Memorial Day.
Yeah, I thought it was a Memorial Day opening.
These reviews came out so early for this movie.
Yeah,
I thought
it was released overseas.
Oh my goodness!
It's the same thing. That
but
happened.
Regardless, you're going to see Psylocke as a villain getting beat up by
Cyclops.
I guess. but Jean Grey. You know,
we saw Jean Grey.
Yeah, I mean, we'll
Wolverine stabbed her in the belly.
You think they'll team, like, they'll line them up for the women to fight only?
I don't know.
Once you see someone vaporize Professor X, you don't care what happens to them after that.
Jeez, that was
yeah, but Jean Grey, Sansa, and all kinds of bad things happen to her. You kind of want to root for her.
Well, we kind of forgot that movie exists. Third X-Men movie. Like,
yeah, I think they forgot that movie
they
exists
did.
While they were making
I think they said
it.
That, too. I think they said they basically that's why they redid all this, so they could just say it.
Although the reviews of this have not been great.
Is it Brett Ratner that did the third one?
Yeah.
Yes, because Singer dropped out to do Superman
Returns.
Brett Jack and Chan.
And so did James Marsden, which is why Cyclops got killed 10 minutes into the movie. Which I didn't have a problem with them killing off Cyclops. I had a problem with them killing Cyclops off screen.
You know, Bryan Singer was supposed to do that movie.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't work on him when he was trying to do Superman.
Yeah,
or they wouldn't
work with the
timing. They wouldn't work
off. Like, can you hold off on this movie while I do this?
I do remember that. That's right.
Yeah.
So
it's too important for us to make this really.
And
bad
it didn't
movie.
Work for either one because like the Superman didn't do.
But
very
the Superman,
well.
Movie
I still like Superman Returns.
Yeah, it's not a bad movie.
Returns. Kevin Spacey as Lex Luthor was probably,
But it was Kevin Spacey being Gene Hackman. As Lex Luthor, and I wanted
because it's in continuity.
But it had to. Yeah, it wasn't
I get
continuity.
That, but
he had to be Gene Hackman.
And even if
you're doing this as a continuation of the earlier movies, had to be Gene Hackman's Lex Luthor.
I get that, but Kevin Spacey's such a good actor. I would have preferred to see his.
I think he was such a good actor that he was able to pull off Gene Hackman. Though.
That's I agree with you.
And Gene Hackman's a good actor. That's the thing. I mean,
Hackman.
I was watching Ant-Man this weekend, and my wife brought up a really good point. Darren Cross is pretty much Lex Luthor in that movie.
Yeah.
Like, he did a better job than Jesse Eisenberg did as Lex Luthor. They should just...
Jesse Eisenberg, I was thinking about that the other day. Jesse Eisenberg just comes off as a villain anyways. So I kind of liked seeing him as a villain because I was like, I don't like this guy. I want to see Superman take him out.
When you see him in everyday life, you just kind of
like... Yeah, you're just like, watching the Mark Zuckerberg movie, that social network. On that, I was waiting for Superman to come in and take
I really
Mark
think
Zuckerberg.
That he could have been fine Lex Luthor with better writing.
I think so, too. Like, there were certain... I liked how eccentric he was, how crazy he was, but he was a little too crazy at some points that it didn't feel like Lex Luthor. I think
but
that
it was
the...
almost it, even you know with Lex, there's always the brilliance behind it.
Yeah,
and that didn't
he
show through.
That.
With
he
him.
Was just insane.
It, not that he wasn't intelligent, but not like that next level genius.
Yeah.
How did we get here?
I don't know.
Like, I don't know how we organically got to this.
Talked about it.
Well, we did.
Oh,
we
I started
did.
Talking about Fantastic Four, and
okay,
then we
that's right.
merged on.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
It was Colin.
But yeah, so if you get a chance, watch. And we'll talk about it because we like talking about movies
I
way
will watch
late.
It. I will watch it before.
Well, it was
podcast.
Monday.
It's also a Redbox, though, if you don't
Monday, and I was doing computer work, and it was on demand. I'm like, or I think I had seen it because we were looking for something to watch either Saturday or Sunday, and I was going through all the on demand, going, you know, trying
you're
to find
like,
something that you can watch that I want to watch that an 11-year-old wants to watch, and you know, so much stuff. It's like, oh no, darn.
Well, how did the 11-year-old like?
I don't remember. No, we didn't watch
that.
Just
stupid.
No, I just watched it Monday.
This makes me not like comic books even more.
So before cutting the grass, I had to wait for the dew to dry. So I was doing that, watching that.
And then finally, two additions to the Black Panther movie. Lupita Nyong'o, who was the orange alien.
Okay,
yes. Yeah, Maz Kantana in The Force Awakens.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And Michael B. Jordan, who was Johnny Storm.
Creed.
Yeah, he was in Creed, but I'm wondering if that wasn't yet another gig between Marvel and Fox to say, yeah,
he's an actor. He's something.
Yeah.
He got a job.
It was fun. I mean, just last week they were saying, no, Fantastic Four 2 isn't dead yet. Well, if he's going to Marvel.
I have a feeling I don't think he's like
tie
exclusive
him up.
To.
No, but they'll tie him up for a multi-picture deal.
I don't think they're going. I think they're going to try to reboot that again.
Yeah.
I mean,
you have the girl from Gotham who's on that, and she's doing Deadpool.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Marina Barrican.
Mm-hmm. Something like that. She mm-hmm. was.
She's hot. I don't care.
She's very.
I'll watch
she is
her
very attractive.
Everything.
Did you ever see Homeland?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've seen that scene.
Yeah. That was nice.
And she was in the V.
Firefly. Yeah, she was in V. I liked that show.
So
Firefly.
So did I.
I was mad that
Supergirl was on. What was it?
Smallville Supergirl.
Yeah,
she was on a couple episodes of
it. I didn't watch The Mentalist. F The Mentalist.
The same.
It ripped off of Psych.
You open a wound or something.
Because
Psych was an awesome show on USA, and The Mentalist kind of ripped off. But Psych made fun of that all the time. So
The Mentalist, that was the one with Kira Sedgwick.
That's the closer. Yeah.
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 Doesn't matter. I didn't watch any of them.
All right. That's all I got, Colin.
The only thing for news, Valiant had their big summit yesterday.
Yeah, I was hoping you'd talk about that. I didn't really look into it. I saw some titles.
That's more you,
Josh. You know what's going on there. You're hip.
Was it you that watched also, or is it Pat?
I didn't watch.
Didn't you watch it yesterday as well?
Some of it.
Yeah. They had their summit yesterday at up in New York, and they announced their next initiative, Future Valiant. With 7 new books coming out, starting in July with Faith Number 1, the new ongoing. Same creative team from the Faith miniseries.
Now, is it going to be a number 1, or are they just going to
continue?
It's going
to be number 1, but I think like the trade will be considered Volume 2, and it will continue after that.
Which makes sense. For the trades.
They announced Generation Zero, from Fred Van Lente.
I like that mainly because I like him. But I like the cover.
And Francis Porterella. Yeah, so Generation Zero spins out of Harbinger, and during the Harbinger Wars event, the first event after Valiant's relaunch, we saw the Renegades, who were the main folks of the Harbinger book, and they ended up encountering this other group of Psyots called Generation Zero, who had been kind of raised to be, weapons, psychic soldiers, but very fine-tuned weapons. And they had escaped and were trying to, escape that fate and break on their own. And that was the whole, point of the Harbinger Wars, where the Renegades were trying to help them.
Were they the ones that, Bloodshot had to do with?
Bloodshot was trying to... Bloodshot was sent after them by Project Rising Spirit.
Yeah.
But then Bloodshot kind of went against his programming.
Which he does.
Yeah. So, that event, too, had a really, crazy section where Bloodshot got his face, kind of completely blasted off, and you saw, this just muscle tissue. It was a cool panel. So, Generation Zero, they're kind of in hiding now, and they help people covertly, and the way they kind of pitched it in the solicit sounded very much like the A-Team. Like, if you can find them, and if your cause is good enough, then you can get the help of Generation Zero. So it's them coming out of hiding to help out this teenage girl whose boyfriend was mysteriously killed. I believe the solicit said, so they've kind of gone undercover in her school. But it just seems like a really cool series. Fred Van Lente did the Archer Armstrong series for Valiant, the initial one, and he was fantastic. He also did Ivar Timewalker.
Yeah.
Which he's
doing this one shot for 4001 AD, the War Mother.
Yeah. So I'm excited for that. Britannia is a 4-issue miniseries by Peter Milligan and Juan Jose Rip, and it takes place in Roman times, and it's this Roman soldier who is sent to the outskirts of these colonies to investigate some supernatural happenings, and they're playing up as he was like the world's first detective. But it seems like an interesting premise. Bloodshot USA is a 4-issue event series. Jeff Lemire and Doug Brathwaite. And it looks like this will be the...
Trying to FaceTime me.
What's that?
My daughter's friend is trying to FaceTime me, meaning to get my daughter.
Oh.
That's what the buzzing is. I don't know how to make it stop. I'm sorry.
Looks like this will be the fall event for Valiant.
That looks interesting. It really does. They've been talking about it for a little while now.
The excitement you guys have towards Valiant, and to be honest, the excitement Andy Legal, mm-hmm. who was on the show, if you have a chance, watch it. I think he did a really good job talking about the upcoming stuff. Very, very excited. It sounds like
he enjoys his job.
Absolutely, he does.
Yeah, everyone seemed like that you see seemed like they really enjoy it. Adam Freeman, like talking to him, he's really passionate about it. But the Bloodshot one...
the creators, I expect, you know, but it sounds like...
No, Adam Freeman's not a creator. He's the sales guy.
He's the head sales guy. Yeah.
Okay.
He's the guy that sent us all the stuff.
The sales guys being happy and excited.
But he was a retailer. He owned a store out in California.
Eisner award-winning store.
Yeah. And then I guess when he and his wife split up, she kept the store and he went into the...
He went to Image, and then I think Valiant poached him from Image.
Yeah.
But yeah, both Andy Legal and Matthew Klein both worked in stores and got pulled in from the stores. Yeah. Andy's based in California. Matthew's in New York.
One of these days when he's frustrated, that's what he's going to... Poach me.
Black mask.
Black, yeah. But yeah, so no, I'm excited about this stuff, and I've been, you guys have sucked me in. So I've been reading A&A, I've read all the 4001 AD stuff, except I didn't read Rye that came out today. But yeah.
They do it well. Yeah. And the other three books, Harbinger Renegades, which brings back the group from the original Harbinger series. We have Peter Stanchek and Faith. And Torque and Chris and that crew.
Is there a Harbinger book on the shelves at all right now?
Right now? Imperium is the Harbinger universe book.
That's
the
Harbinger theme book.
That's after Harbinger ended, Imperium started, and Imperium focused on Toyo Harada, who is the,
he's the antagonist, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the...
He's the guy who looks for the side.
Started off as kind of like the hero... And then quickly became the villain in Harbinger books.
Because he was in the first issue, I think they explained him a little bit of Harbinger.
Really Savage good. Comes out in November, is a 4-issue miniseries. The premise of this is that the world's most famous soccer player and his supermodel wife, their plane crashed down this mysterious island. She was pregnant with her child, and the world thinks they're dead, but we find out that they survived the crash, and somehow on this mysterious island, there are prehistoric beasts there. And this miniseries is how they lost their humanity, and shows. I guess the main character, this Savage character, is their child. 15 years later. And then the last one is Divinity 3, Stalinverse.
Which we didn't waste any time talking about.
No, this is going to come out in December. It's Matt Kent and Trevor Harrison. Oh, also, I forgot to mention the creators. So, Harbinger Renegades is Rafer Roberts, who's writing A&A right now, and Derek Robertson. Savage is going to be B. Clay Moore, Clayton Henry, and Louis LaRosa. And then Divinity 3 Stalinverse. So, this looks like it's a...
The pitch sounded like Red Sun.
It sounds like, almost like a... I don't say Elseworlds, but a different dimension.
Which they've been talking about. Like, that's what their big new logo is that they have on their Facebook page.
Yeah.
With all the Valiant logos, but pointing all into the compass.
Yeah. Well, the Divinity characters are very godlike. So I could see them, through the events of Divinity 2 or something else, be able to almost, change the events of history. And that's the character from Divinity 2 who has the same powers as the guy from the first miniseries. She's still very much loyal to the Soviet Union and wants to, bring power back to the Soviet Union, make them the major force in the world. So I could see, whatever comes of her joining with Putin, bringing about this, these changes for the Stalinverse. So with the Stalinverse, we're going to see Valiant heroes, but with a Soviet Union twist to them.
Like, there was Bloodshot, where he had a sickle, like in his, I think it was on his logo, wasn't it? Like the spot.
I think so. Yeah.
And I think it was around it.
And like, there was a something. Cool. The Shadow Man had a cool like this star in his chest, and he had his normal. Because Shadow Man always has a sickle that he's holding on his side.
That's what I saw. I think Bloodshot was a star instead of a dot or something like that. I'll have to look at the image again.
Mm, okay.
But they all had kind of a Russian feel to it, a Soviet Union feel to them.
But no, a lot of interesting books, and it looks like Ninjak has a new arc planned for the fall, so at least that's continued for a little while. Eternal Warrior ANA. I'd be curious to see what kind of drops off. They have a lot of miniseries going on right now, so I guess things will end organically. But they seem like they're sticking with this, creative, having the like 10 books a month coming out, which is good. So that's it for the Valiant Summit news. Anything else? We have questions? A question?
No. Oh, we did have the one question from James.
I didn't realize that.
I think it was more just to me, and I just responded back to him directly, and we went back and forth a couple times. Not in a bad way, just in a...
You keep responding to questions outside the podcast.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, because I didn't know if it was a podcast question or just a question to me, but I did forward it on. Hang on, let me find it.
You did answer it anyway. It was about All-Star Batman being $4.99, right. Even though everything DC said,
right? And he wondered. That's right. And he wondered if that was them already breaking that thing. And I said, no, I don't think so. I think this is a different type of book.
Yeah,
this isn't your standard DC continuity.
And book. That's how I saw it, too.
Yeah, I said, continuity. This is special. And I said, and look at the creative teams involved. This one might cost a little more to make, and it's going to be 40 pages versus 20.
I do think, though, with how big of a deal DC made about the $2.99, that they probably should have said something.
You can
something.
See why.
Yeah.
They open that, up that for them to do it. Like, it's just like...
But I don't think it's breaking any trust or anything.
I don't think it is, but,
there was
it is a bigger book, too. It's 42 pages, I think.
Something like that, yeah. So I think that takes it out of the standard.
But they're giving you more.
It's
not a standard.
It's like complaining that an annual is more when it's twice as thick. This was a little bit I got into yesterday. Tom Taylor, somebody had tweeted to Tom Taylor. I'll find it. Hang on, sorry. About that it's been confirmed that all DC books are dropping to 20 pages. And I'm like, they've been 20 pages. Why? Where is this even an issue?
Not all of them. Some are 20, some are 30.
Right, but the $2.99, that was their distinction between the two. The $3.99 ones weren't. Here's the tweet. And he responded back saying, but all books at $2.99, that's not bad. And then so I responded, said, I wouldn't worry, Tom. Marvel does 23 pages for $4.99. which was Civil War Zero.
Oh, you said Tom Taylor.
Tom King. And 20 pages for $3.99. So 40 pages for $5.98 I didn't see being that bad a deal. Because Civil War Two was a really quick read, and the ads at the beginning were very distracting. Only because you open the cover, you have the little recap page, you turn the page, it's that Luke Cage hostess ad. Which you're expecting the first...
Hostess ad.
Yeah. You're expecting...
You mean the one for shaving powder?
Or whatever.
That's the one I saw.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't eat that.
Whatever. But
It's drawn. That's gross. It's drawn like a comic book page.
I know that.
But so you open, you get your little recap, you're all your artists, and then bam. And it just pulled me out of it.
Yeah,
and it's weird because the next couple pages.
Oh, yeah, I would have thought this was the first page.
Exactly. But there's nothing here that's a double page spread.
You're reading, you're like, why is but,
so I got yelled at, why are you counting pages?
What
but
does
I'm
this
like,
have to do with
the, I'm like, well, one? My problem is you had ad right. page.
Civil War.
Ad page.
Who yelled at you for counting pages?
Tremaine, actually.
Really?
Page ad.
He's a retailer. He's
ad right. page. And I'm just like, as I'm going through, I'm just like, retailer. There's just a lot he's of a ads here.
Geico?
Yeah. And by the time another ad.
Normally the ads have something to do with comic.
They have that in
right.
their
that
but
does
Captain
seem like
America magazine.
An excessive amount of ads
right.
for a single book.
Right. So I just remember it. And then by the time I got to the end, I was like, wait, it's over already? Especially because ad page, and then double page spread. It was just like, wait. So I counted. There were 23 story pages. This was advertised as a 40-page comic for $4.99. Without the fancy cover that all the other $4.99 issues are going to have. But it said 40 pages, but I'm like, there's 23 pages. And I realized when I counted the pages, that includes the front and back cover.
Why?
Front and back cover counts as 4 pages when they're
exactly
calling it 40 pages.
Why exactly did he yell at
you for recounting? Well, he's like, I got $4.99 worth of story out of it. I'm like, okay, I don't know about that. I don't feel I did. Mm-hmm. I felt it ended very abruptly. And when I realized.
Yeah, that's
yeah, when I realized it's 3 more story pages for an extra $2 over a DC book, yes, I'm always touting DC, but I think you're getting more book.
Yeah.
Or at least more value.
Yeah. More book for your buck.
It wasn't a bad story, and I don't mean to say that at all. It sets everything up. It does a good job in that. And I'll talk about it next week. But just the fact that it was touted as 40 and it was only 30, it was only 23 pages. There was a lot of ads in it.
I was surprised you were the only one that picked Civil War.
I always pick the
No, I'm surprised that normally with these things there's at least a few of us to pick.
Oh,
like that big
yeah. I don't know how it sold, but I know a lot of people passed today. They were like, wait.
Why do you think?
I don't know. I gotta say, the zero being $4.99 did not help them. Even CBR in their preview of it said $3.99. Yeah. And it sounds stupid, but at $3.99 I wouldn't dislike. No, I don't want to say dislike the book.
Yeah.
But that $1, that's what I was trying to explain to Jermaine. I said, a $5 book is special. It's big. It shouldn't just be a normal comic.
That's like a Batman annual. And, it's something where it's going to be a good story. It's going to be a lot.
For an extra 99 cents, you can get two
For ads?
Batmans? Yeah. So, that's all. That's my, it's not even an event. It's just what that is.
Stop. Colin's Corner.
No. Colin's Corner. There we go. Sorry, I had to get up before. I turned on the air because it started to get very humid, and I realized the air was still running.
Gotcha. Inhumid?
Not inhumid.
Where's Daisy at?
The one problem I did have with the book, just to give away a little plot, I don't know who all bought it, but one of the major plot points was it's the introduction of the new inhuman Ulysses who can see the future, which spawns the whole Minority Report thing. Well, they take place on Ohio State campus, and the Terrigen Mist were just coming through. And they're like, all the students are going, I wonder if it'll affect any of us and stuff. And I'm like, it's been 2 years. And I realize it's 2 years our time, not Marvel Comics time. But it's 2 years. Come on. This shouldn't still be happening. And wasn't the world recreated? So did Franklin recreate it with the Terrigen Mist still going around?
That's
kind of a D move.
Well, no.
Yeah, Franklin
sucks at being a god.
So,
but Franklin's a mutant.
Hey, that's Franklin. Yeah. He's a D.
Franklin's a mutant. Terrigen Mist kills mutants. So
yeah,
how can he even do that?
Isn't it? You're right.
All these little things.
Just throwing it out there. Yeah. Waiting out
also,
your logic.
If you get a chance, on my Facebook page, I posted a little thing. It was snarky, and I realized it was. But I was sitting down, and I realized I hadn't read the previews yet. And it's due next Thursday, and I still haven't read the previews yet. But I picked up the Marvel section, and I started reading it. And as I pointed out, I said, I have to now read every line of every solicit and every Marvel book because of the Deadpool 3.1 being in Spanish. I'm not going to let them get me on that again. So I'm sitting there reading, and the solicit for Civil War III is one of the biggest Marvel characters falls. I'm like, okay, I wonder who that is.
Giant Man, he falls
down. No,
he trips.
3 pages later, it's Civil War Choose Your Side, a battle between War Machine and Goliath. And I'm like, and it's his nephew, Black Goliath's nephew. And I'm like, one, really? So you're kind of telegraphing that's who falls.
So you were right.
But yeah. But is that really, you're going to do, Goliath is going to fall again? The only death in Civil War?
Yeah,
and this is his nephew.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, I'm not biting on that.
Is there going to be a robot Iron Man this time instead of a robot Thor?
Ooh, very good. And also, it's weird seeing in issue 3, War Machine still around when, if you read the Free Comic Book Day book, something very, very bad happens to War Machine. So I'm going, well, when does that happen? In issue 5?
And I had a problem with that. I finally read it this week, that the Free Comic Book Day book, and I'm like,
why would War Machine think he could take on Thanos? That was my number one question.
Well, no, that whole group. I mean, there's not an A-lister in that group.
Captain Marvel is powerful enough. No, but I'm just saying, She-Hulk. No,
Captain Marvel, War Machine, super powerful.
Yeah,
right. But War Machine is not A-level heroes.
I think she is.
Okay. Maybe because Marvel pushes her down our throat, but
power set wise, though, like she's often billed as Earth's mightiest
super strength.
Yeah.
Okay. So I had a problem with that, but then your preview book starts off in the middle of the damn story. Mm-hmm. That, why would you do that?
See, because now last year, well, I know what, 2 years ago it was a prequel to Infinity. Last year it was the zero issue of Secret Wars. So I assumed that this one was going to lead it. In reading it, I'm like,
it'd be the negative one for.
Right, well, it's confusing, and I don't quite see where it follows. And my other problem with it, it doesn't fit into this zero that just came out at all. So it's a little disjointed, right? If you got the Free Comic Book Day and then picked up this one, you're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
So.
You have to understand how Marvel thinks.
But then, yeah, just a couple other things I noticed reading through, and I had to stop. Power Man and Iron Fist as of issue 6 already has a new artist, and Totally Awesome Hulk as of issue 9 is on its third artist. So it's just like, what?
Are they going to change the style, though, of Power Man and Iron Fist? Because that's a big
reason. I honestly couldn't tell you. I don't know that. I think the guy's name is like Flavio something. The weird thing with Totally Awesome Hulk is it's going from Frank Cho to Alan Davis, which is okay, to Mike Del Mundo. Now, Mike Del Mundo did the Elektra series. He did Weird World. It's a very painted style.
Yeah.
It's very good, but very totally different.
No, and that's, the Power Man and Iron Fist, that's not how I like art, not my cup of tea. But I like the characters. And if it was drawn differently, I might.
But now here's the problem with that. Sanford Green still does the cover, so you have no idea what the inside's going to be look like. And I don't know this artist from Adam. So that's a concern for me.
That's Adam.
I know
He's not the artist.
I know that. But, yeah. So. But, yeah, just my little rant. And I was going to go through the whole book, and I realized I'm going to be very, very negative. I better stop.
Screw it.
Well, it's because when I started doing it, I'm like, this is how this was technically what the first podcast was, me going through previews by myself sitting on the sofa.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hey, I want to get back to this. I'm like, so here I am, and I'm typing. It was like stream of consciousness as I'm reading, typing stuff, and then I realized I'm like, I better stop.
No good.
I'm not trying to be super negative, but it's just
You're trying to sell these.
Right. I'm not trying to nitpick, but it's these things I'm finding. I'm just like, well, that's not good. That's not good. And like Captain America or Steve Rogers, Captain America is tying into Civil War as of issue 4. So it's like, is it real? The first story just 3 issues, and then it's going into Civil War, and how's that first trade going to be?
Yeah. You know what though, and that's. We bitch about things as comic book fans a lot that maybe we shouldn't. But remember, you used to get 1 and 2 issue stories, and they were
absolutely.
And now
absolutely.
They write for trades, and everything's a 6 issue arc. And well, and that's well,
I think it's
theoretically,
a little too early to be jumping into something.
Right?
No,
but
that's
no, I hear you there.
Thing, and then they derail the damn book.
There was the All New Inhumans trade came out, And Adam, it was very funny, came out today. And I'm like, I hand it to Adam. I'm like, this is really thin. He went over, and it's like $16. How much is it? $15.99? Mm-hmm. Adam went over and grabbed the Legends of Tomorrow book, same size, for $7.99.
Four issues?
Yeah. But yeah, it's the exact same size as the Legends of Tomorrow book.
Oh, so. And it has material from All New, All Different, point one, number one.
Ah, Buck.
That must
Dave
be
knows
what,
that from, what that's from. You guys don't.
I don't think I do either.
Oh, it was Radar used to.
Oh, okay. Say,
ah,
I wasn't a big.
Buck.
I like MASH.
I wasn't a
yeah,
big
like
MASH fan.
Too.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and in the last six pages, it looks like, is alternate covers.
So it's just really, really thin. And that's my one problem with Marvel. It's like, why don't wait till issue 7 and make a bigger trade? You know, there's no reason for that. You know, if you can't read the spine, it's too small.
But, it, you know, if something
But we
happened,
did get Starbrand reprint because everybody loves Starbrand.
Yeah. Breakout character.
Why did I order that?
Someone will buy it.
Yeah, that's true.
Free comic book
because
game
Marvel's really trying to push the new universe.
I like that.
Heck, somebody
like
bought the Neil Gaiman Technophage and Mr.
Like
so.
The original.
Yeah,
original
it was probably
new
good.
Universe Starbrand.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. But yes, yeah, so that's all I have for rants and thingies.
Now we know it really grinds your gears.
No, nothing. No, it just the frustration. It's like just let the flow go. You know, let. I'd love to see creators on longer runs, things like that. You know, it makes the 52 issues, 51 yeah, issues of Snyder and Capullo seem really.
Yeah.
Granted, they didn't do them all, but that was a pretty darn good run
yeah,
that we might
did
not see
probably,
again.
Probably what 46 out of the 52, maybe more than that.
So. But who read something? Who wants
wait,
the stories?
Are they reading any books?
Oh crap! I didn't mean to do this. Sorry.
Books we
oh,
read.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know. Pat, you start.
Okay.
I gotta go get the invoice.
We'll start with Batman number 51. Or
52.
53? Bunch of filler.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, I wasn't. I liked 51 better than I liked.
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely. 51 was better.
It wasn't that it
was
good. Bad, it was just okay.
I would disagree with you.
Yeah.
I think I would strongly disagree with you.
See, I wasn't a fan
of it. I thought it was good.
We're strongly disagreeing with you.
You're strongly disagreeing with
me. Here's why I'm laughing. I don't remember where exactly this came from. It was a TV show. It might have been a TV show. But it definitely played a part when I was in law school. But there was a scene, or I don't remember exactly, but the lawyer says, I object. And the judge says, overruled. And then the lawyer goes, I strenuously object. And he goes, overruled, but it just, yeah.
It was
when you said I
man.
Strenuously or whatever you said,
strongly,
it just reminded me of that.
It was a
so
good man.
Was
Kevin
it?
Moore does it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just remember that. Yeah, I just remember that just always played a.
You took Colin back a little bit.
You did. Thank you.
I
like 52 a lot.
To me,
I liked
it
a lot. Here's what happened with me. I expected filler, and I liked it a whole lot more than I thought I was going to. I really liked Riley Rossmo's art. I thought the art was very, very good.
The art was fine.
And I thought the story was neat. It tied a lot of things.
It was a
things.
Neat story.
Yeah.
It tied things back to the beginning. I mean, similar to how 51 did.
But almost adds
like
a little brightness to
touching story, yeah. A little bit of hope. It makes the smiling Batman on the cover make sense.
Yeah.
The only thing that...
Okay, I see
The
that.
Only thing that didn't make sense to me is... Why do you have it locked up in a safe deposit
right,
box?
In some weird place, yeah.
It's just some book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, no, I like the,
it's
the
like
villain
was
kind of interesting.
Alfred, so he didn't know
I just,
that he had it still or something.
For just a throwaway issue, it was more a lot more than I expected.
And maybe, and that's why I was disappointed with it. With it being issue 52, I didn't want it to be a throwaway
right.
issue.
But
I
knowing there
was
a new number one coming from a different writer, I didn't have high hopes for it. And it was a lot
that.
Better than I expected.
I kind of assumed it was going to be a throwaway, mainly because of what 51 was. Because you saw 51 was the genuine conclusion of their story.
No,
something else
that.
Would have had to have been. I think for what it was fun. It was a fun little read.
Going into it, I had almost felt that 51 should have been held. Like, let them make the book, hold it off, printed as 52, and then just have some fill-in artists for, or fill-in
well, 51. Yeah, 52 could have been 51. I'd have been okay with that, and then did 52 as, or do the one that was issued 51.
But that's how I felt before I read 52. After reading 52, I thought it was a fine, you know, last issue for the series. Yeah, like Colin said, I was expecting filler, and I was very pleasantly surprised.
It's like a fun annual. Yeah. Like, they bring out just a little story.
I tweeted to both the guys, and they both liked it. To Tinian and Riley Rossimo.
Yeah,
I would love to see more Rossimo Batman. I thought I really enjoyed his Batman.
Staying on Batman, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I liked it.
Yeah,
I liked the conclusion.
I thought it was okay.
I thought it concluded pretty well.
I mean, you know, predictable, yes. But I liked how...
Did the pizza get him home?
No, pizza didn't get him home. But I did like how they kind of switched up and Batman fought Shredder while the Turtles fought Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah.
The whole, you know, April made an appearance and all that. And then at the end where Raph gives Bruce his mask. I thought that was kind of, that was kind of cool.
You kind of cried a little bit. You choked up.
No, I didn't choke. It takes more than that. Yeah. But it was...
I just like the animals that they chose for them to mutate into.
Yeah.
Freeze is a polar bear. Joker was that snake.
Was a cobra. Yeah. Harley Quinn was a hyena. Yeah. That was pretty good.
It was fun.
I
thought it was really well done for a story. And it's probably not the last one.
Potentially, yeah. Yeah,
so I think it did well enough that they'll make a sequel.
The book had a ton of buzz.
Yeah,
and it wasn't just at the beginning. People were talking about this throughout the entire run of the miniseries.
Yeah,
so people seem to like it a lot.
I think they'll do the opposite. Well, I think they'll put Batman in the
Ninja Turtle.
I'll probably buy it in trade since you guys spoke so highly of it.
It's kind of like, you know, it's the same thing. It's IDW with DC.
I mean, I love their Star Trek Green Lantern series.
I think in a lot of ways that worked a little bit better just because of the more science fiction aspect where Batman is more grounded. And that's kind of where I have the problem with. I'd like to see him in the Ninja Turtle universe, but how does he get there?
Yeah.
That's you know, you got to convince me that this makes sense.
Batmite does it.
That could work.
It was fun though.
It was a really fun book. Southern Bastards.
I heard really good things about that issue, like Eisner worthy things.
Yeah, it was really good. It was
excellent.
Donna Tubbs comes home and
Roberta.
Whatever, Donna. Huh.
You're thinking of Donna Troy.
Could be.
They're so similar.
That's what happened.
She immediately does not get along with the neighbors.
Yeah, well, they have kind of been ransacking Earl Tubbs's house.
Yeah, stole his lawnmower, had their dogs crap all over his yard.
Yeah.
They're Auburn fans. She's a Bama fan.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah. Forget the race aspect. Just the fact that she's, you know, Auburn and Alabama, that ain't going to work.
Yeah.
But no, it was. It was a really good issue.
Oh, just like totally raw and unflinching. She beats up the neighbor and then the kid.
And his wife and the kid.
And the kid just utters a racial epithet toward her. And it was unbelievable.
Yeah. And I love the end. She's headed to Craw County with an AK-47 in her truck.
I know.
Nothing good can happen here.
Just after, especially after Coach Boss losing the homecoming game.
Yeah.
Nothing good is going to come from this. But I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
I cannot wait.
What's the third trade for that coming out?
July.
Yeah. I'm waiting for it.
The
chaps my ass.
The stuff with.
You know,
find out Earl was a Vietnam vet. And, you know, she came back from Afghanistan, but before she left, you know, he's trying to tell her, you know I wasn't the best father and all that. She's like, save it. That way we have something to talk about when I call and all that.
And Roberta, she's just primed for combat. These things are running through her head, and she's
she's looking for a fight.
Yeah.
But she isn't, and that's
yeah.
It really was.
Oh, it was excellent.
Yeah, so well done. One of the best issues they've done of this.
Yeah.
And that says a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Very much so.
Kennel Block Blues.
How'd that end up?
I got to tell you, I have no idea what the hell I read. It wasn't bad. They finally escaped. There was, you know, basically a prison riot, and the old cat that was in charge, you know, he's basically thrown out of power by the, you know, by the younger cats and all. It was good, but I could not tell you what the hell I read. It's really weird. But they did it, you know, the animals escaped and all that. So, Darth Vader.
I read it.
So I thought it was just okay. I thought there was a lot of filler in it. But the and again, minor thing. But the cover says, you know, the new arc starts. Open the cover, the first page says it's a continuation of the last arc. I had a problem with that. I just thought the story was okay. I loved the backup, though. The B-Team 000 backup yeah, was great.
The misadventures.
Yeah, the misadventures of that.
B-Team 000.
That was really good. If they had a book with just them, I would read that book.
They could carry their own book for sure.
Yeah. You know, evil C-3PO and R2-D2 is great. But we also come to find out that, you know, Tarkin had something to do with their creation, or, like, he created an initiative to create those types of droids.
Yeah.
So that was pretty good. It might
have been filler, but that stuff was interesting. I thought the Emperor talking about Silo and how he was involved in the creation of Vader.
Yeah.
I didn't mind that.
You know, the Imperial, the guy with the mutton chops.
Inspector Thanos.
Yeah, whatever. Him just sacrificing
himself. I thought that was
himself.
Odd, yeah.
Yeah, that made
him
no
just
sense.
Given, like, he just... I understood why Vader had to do that, but it seemed odd that he came out and was just like,
yeah,
here, I know everything.
But not only that, you know, his whole reasoning was, well, the Emperor's getting weak. He just wants to concentrate on super weapons, so we're going to let you do it. Yeah. Now, the one weird thing, though, a couple weird things, but the one thing it kind of got me was, he openly challenges the rule of two.
Yeah.
And these books are supposed to be canon.
Yeah.
So that was, I found kind of a weird choice for them to do that in that book.
Yeah. I did too.
But even there, you know, he's saying that these others aren't really the apprentice because they didn't win. Had they won, then, you know, he would have had that conversation with Darth, or, you know, with them instead of Darth Vader. So
the ones that he created, the ones that Kylo or whatever Silo, created. It was a little odd. Some parts were just really odd in that book.
Yeah.
Now, did we talk about that? It's ending in 25. I don't remember if we talked about that last week.
I thought we talked about it last week.
Okay.
That's
all.
I don't remember.
Yeah,
I don't think we did, honestly.
Okay, no, but yeah, this one's ending at 25.
Yeah, you talked about it.
I thought we talked Tuesday. About it.
I didn't
know maybe
about
we
it
talked
Colin
about it sure. after. It, I think you saw it while we were doing the podcast.
Okay, but yeah, maybe so that's...
So, yeah, four more issues left of that.
Yeah.
And the last book that I read was A&A.
Yeah, all right. I read that.
Yep.
I thought that was pretty good.
I like it, yeah.
Yep, I think the story's real good. Not a huge fan of the art. I've never liked the artist, and he's got some quirks on this that bother me.
I don't hate the art, but there are definitely some, you know, things here and there that are a bit weird. Like you mentioned the nose thing, which I didn't
Armstrong's
really
nose.
I didn't really notice until you said something, but
and
now
can't
I can't
it.
Unsee
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But the book overall, I enjoy quite a bit. I think
like the story best of everything.
It is a very fun book.
I didn't like the coloring on this issue, I don't really blame the colorist on this. I blame artist.
I think it was a little bright in the beginning because it was set in the '80s.
Yeah, it wasn't that. It was stuff was like Armstrong's hair at the beginning had like this big brown spot in it for absolutely no reason. Like a really light brown spot, and just
I didn't notice that.
Areas in it that were colored. But bad then perm. Again, that was left open by the artist.
Got it so glowing
to color those in. So maybe that wasn't really, but I don't know, something about it. I thought it was just oddly out of place.
Yeah, I didn't notice that. But it's a really fun book, and I like that they're showing that Armstrong's not just this, you know, debaucherous guy. That he is, you know, kind of like the tortured, you know, depressed guy because of his situation that, you know, like
his friends die.
Like when he has the falling out with his friends, he's like, I'll forget about you in a thousand years anyways.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, he doesn't really enjoy this whole being immortal thing. So, unlike Galad, who Galad has a mission, like he has something that keeps him focused.
Yeah, but he's horrible at that mission.
Keeps him busy. Success gets you complacent.
I guess.
But it was good. I liked it.
That's all I got.
David?
Yeah, I love the party and all
Bacchus.
That. Yeah, that was fun.
Oh, yeah, it was fun. Whenever Bacchus joins up with the frat party.
Yeah.
And then takes the frat party to another level.
After they're all naked.
Yeah, they're all naked, running around, buildings on fire. Yeah.
Strategically placed solo cups.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Dave? You're going to go next.
Okay. Start with Archie, number 8.
I read that.
This was a good issue. I like this issue. Starts off with Mr. Lodge deciding to run for mayor of Riverdale because he wants to run the town.
I like how you could just move to a town and just run for mayor.
Hillary Clinton did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's just a little... I think it's ridiculous.
And he finds an orange piece of hair on Veronica's shoulder.
Ooh. Yeah.
And he's not happy, and Veronica says it's from her cat, Orange Cat. So she takes Archie out to try to buy a cat.
So she tries to match it with his
and
hair.
She's like holding.
She holds up kittens up to his hair just to make sure he has the right. But the one that matches, this little girl has already like claimed.
Yeah.
And it's this like big, fat, like long-haired cat that she's just like, okay, what if I buy you two kittens? And the dad's in the background like, wait, no, I don't want that. And then she's just like, how about two kittens and a puppy? And then she decides on it, yes, and she gives her the cat. And the dad's stuck with all these animals.
Yeah.
The
heart of the issue is Archie's dad gets a promotion at work, but it turns out he has to go to Singapore to train for this financial job. And it turns out his boss is Hiram Lodge.
Yeah.
So Archie doesn't know what to do because...
He's only transferring him because of Archie.
Because he transferred him to keep Archie away from Veronica.
Doesn't that seem a little excessive?
I know. But... Archie's dad is thrilled to be going because all he wants to do is provide for his son and he'll be able to afford college for him.
Yeah.
So that was a real dilemma for Archie. And I had a good message to stand up to bullies because both at the end, you know, both Fred and Archie's dad, friends. Fred and Archie, they both stand up to the bully that is Mr. Lodge.
Yeah. Well, okay. So Archie... He gets so irritated about it, but he can't do anything about it, so he goes to confront Lodge, which is the first time he confronted Lodge without, like, kissing up, and he actually told him off. And he didn't know his dad was there at the time. I don't know why his dad was there, unless he was just turning down
that
the
seemed
job.
A little
because he didn't
disjointed.
Really know the whole thing going on between Archie.
Yeah,
but the thing about it is why he was upset at the end is because he heard Archie stand up to him. And his reasons for standing up. And then his dad didn't know that was the reason.
Yeah.
So he
told him, he was just like, you know what, I agree with him, you know, and that's mm-hmm. why he walked off.
Okay.
So, right. I don't really know why he was there to begin with, unless he was, like, thinking about it still.
That seemed a little disjointed in the book. Like, yeah. It didn't flow, those two pages or something.
Yeah.
I thought pages were stuck together and I missed something.
So, it was kind of interesting. It was odd. They had, like, notices. Like, shut-off notices and stuff like that because of the dad working. He was working all these hours, but he doesn't make enough. And
yeah.
Stuff like that. I thought that was a little odd, too. I get where they were going with it.
Yeah.
But it almost looked like Archie was about ready to be evicted from his house. And being that he didn't go to Singapore, I'm planning on, like, the next issue is, like, them getting kicked out and living on the streets because that's what it seemed like. Like, I don't see anything happening. Because he really needed the money. Like, yeah. So I thought that was a little odd. But the book is a really fun book. It's fun.
I like it a lot. It was good.
Yeah. I think it's just well done. Like the whole part that it makes you laugh about, you know, them picking up the cat. Her picking up all these cats trying to match with Archie's hair and stuff like that. It's just, it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun tough book. To draw the physical comedy like that, but that was good.
Yeah.
Next I read that, Jackpot number 2.
Okay. I didn't read it yet. I started it and I was very confused at the beginning and set it down.
It's a little bit confusing. Yeah. I mean, the first issue they were pulling a con job on this boat. In this issue, they're doing the same thing in this swanky hotel. And there's these mysterious people who are trying to recruit one of the Dominique, who's one of the con men, con women, and I don't understand what was happening a little bit, because they let this, in this issue, there was this calculus equation that kind of floated past her, and she, like, understood it, and she was able to do this, like, mystical kind of stuff, so they could escape this hotel, but it's interesting. I thought it was interesting, though, but that's about all I can say about that.
It's in my pile.
Back to the Future. Back to the Future, Citizen Brown, number 1. This is a 4-issue miniseries. This is based on the video game that I wasn't familiar with.
I don't remember the name of that video game.
It was for the PlayStation 3, the Wii, and the Xbox 360.
Was it called Citizen Brown, or do you know?
It's just called Back to the Future.
Okay.
Yeah. But that was the only one since, like, the Nintendo games.
Maybe it was the Telltale games.
Yeah, it was just Telltale, yeah.
They did the Walking Dead series, the episodic games. Yeah. And,
In the Bob Gale and the text page in the beginning, he says, this doesn't take place in the regular Back to the Future continuity of the ongoing series, but of course, I guess it could. I guess it could.
It's a little odd for them to be like, yeah, why? What does it matter?
Yeah.
Because
this takes place a few months after Back to the Future
3. Is there really a strict continuity between anything?
I don't know. Not when there's time travel.
Yeah, anything that doesn't make any difference.
Anything can fit in the continuity, I would think.
And another thing, why would they make a story about something that has nothing to do with... Yeah. Since the comic book was already strict the continuity dealing with the movies, why would they even be like, I want to make this book about the video game?
Yeah,
like,
it's weird because it's the same time.
Yeah.
Well, it's a few months after Back to the Future 3, and the DeLorean comes back to Marty by itself with no Doc, and there's, like, a recording of Doc that says he's stuck in 1931, and Marty has to go back and save him. So Marty, before he goes back, he goes to the library to get a newspaper, and the headline is Carl Sagan dead, but it's a picture of Doc.
Doc wasn't Carl Sagan.
No, and Doc wasn't Carl Sagan. That's what I'm trying to say here. But he's, like, lying on the ground of a gunshot wound. So Marty goes back to 1931. Finds Doc in jail, and he has to go. Doc tells him, go to my younger self, because I'm working on a rocket-powered drill, and get that drill so you can get me out of prison.
He'd have been, like, a teenager in the 30s.
Well, He kind of was, because he was working on this drill, and he wanted to have it padded, but he gave it up. But he told him, you know, go get this drill, and you're not going to mess with the time, space-time continuum, because I already invented this, so it's, you just need me to finish it. But he also meets Kid Tannen, who is a prohibition-era gangster, and Marty meets his grandfather, Arthur. It was $5. And also at the end of the book was like a part of the Back to the Future regular series, which I've already read. So that was a lot of fun. And that's really all I have, unless somebody wants to hear.
Doc's no better than Rick and Morty. Like, really?
Just I know. Talk about Franklin being a D.
Yeah.
Doc is.
What's a D?
What? I don't know. I never.
That's the title of the podcast.
What was it? Franklin being a D?
Franklin is a D.
I don't know what that means.
D, Colin. Richard.
I got you.
There you go. You okay, Colin?
Yeah, I'm fine. Anything else?
That's really all I have, unless you want to hear what happened in Strawberry Shortcake, number one.
Yeah, go ahead.
She get baked into a pie?
I read for my nieces to make sure there's nothing.
Sure. Sure you did.
That's what I'm going with. This is the... Well, all you...
Oh, I thought he was done. I'm sorry.
I'll tell you about... I mean,
do you want
your
recipe for shortcake? Colin. Sure.
I know. All right.
Colin wants to
now
hear
who's
about
the D?
It's
not Franklin. That's what I don't know.
That's right. Colin and Franklin.
Go ahead.
You want to hear?
Yeah.
You got the mic, my God. Man. Just tell us. There's never been this much anticipation for Strawberry Shortcake.
It's the Berrykin baking contest. And they have Strawberry Shortcake enters the Berrykin baking, the baking contest, so they can win a new toy train.
She's not made of shortcake, is she?
No.
No.
Okay.
No, jackass.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
she enters the baking contest so she could win a new train for the nursery, the Berrykin nursery, because their train broke that they take rides around the nursery. And one of the other contestants is the Purple Pie Man.
Oh.
But he's not known as the Purple Pie Man. His real name is Steve Pieman.
Brilliant.
M-A-N-N.
And he wears purple.
Yes.
So that's why.
And
he's got the purple.
So Strawberry Shortcake. Strawberry Shortcake goes up against him in the contest. And, of course, Steve Pieman's a cheater.
Of course.
Oh, man.
He knows what they're going to have to bake and cook, you know, before... They announce it. He has everything ready.
As any good pieman would.
But I'm assuming he loses because cheaters never win.
He does lose. Can't remember.
You have to think about that.
Did he win? Did he lose?
It's a kid's
book.
He lost.
I can't remember.
You'll just have to find out.
This is very complicated. You'll have to find out. But he does.
All he did was just scratch his sniff. He's making this all up.
Steve
Pieman.
We're believing all this, too.
Steve Pieman. I wouldn't make that up. But in the end, he becomes the Purple Pie Man.
Does he fight Daredevil?
Because he's mad.
He's mad about the whole situation. He's out to thwart Strawberry Shortcake whenever she does, and so she won't win the baking contest.
Why didn't you just put, like, baby eardrops in there or something, in her pie or something like that?
Baby eardrops?
Yeah.
What the hell is an eardrop?
You know, for, like, ear medicine?
Would that kill his children?
Oh, ew.
That was a plot point on The Simpsons.
Oh, really?
Makes you sick.
Yeah.
Oh. Huh. I thought it was eye drops make you sick.
Eye drops can kill you.
Unless they're saline. Just gonna be kind of salty.
No, like contact cleaning solution.
Like contact solution.
Oh, yeah, you should need that.
So. Stuff you learn. Huh?
What else, Dave?
That's it. I'm done.
Dave's.
I just think it's kind of immature.
Dave's about to throw the microphone.
Pie Man, if you just be like, I had a bad day, so I'm going after this little girl who makes cakes.
Pie Man.
What a
woohoo!
Talk about a D.
Steve Pieman.
The D.
Episode 222, where everyone's a D.
Colin, Franklin, and Steve Pieman are all D's.
Man.
Who's next?
Who do you got, Josh?
The Vision.
Yeah, so, he's a D.
So this kind of starts a new arc for the Vision, and this issue looks back at the history of the Vision with Wanda, Scarlet Witch. And showing their, you know, very, like, tumultuous relationship.
Does his robot wife get jealous of Wanda?
Not quite.
So chop her up, does she?
So it shows, you know, the beginning of his relationship with Wanda. We're seeing, like, very, you know, like, old-timey versions of the heroes.
They're doing the jitterbug.
But, like, you know, when they're fighting, you have Iron Man, you know, referring to himself as Shellhead, and they're just, it's very, like, Silver Age-ish.
Oh, so does it have, like, the Silver Age armor?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's showing how much of a messed up relationship it was that Vision and Scarlet Witch had.
Yeah, she's a human, he's a robot.
Yeah. More than that. And, like, the issues with the kids, and whenever he was destroyed and brought back, but not quite himself. And then it at the end, it shows how, even when he's back to being himself again, she's moved on. She's with, I believe it was Wonder Man.
Yeah.
And saying that, you know, Vision was based off of Wonder Man's brainwaves. And that's why she thinks she, you know, clicks with Wonder Man so much.
That's kind of so interesting that they went back and told a
well,
little
bit.
Why.
Well,
here's why. Well, but why Vision, like Vision's take on the kids, because they never went and said anything about that with Wanda and House of M and all of that. Mm. They always were just like, well, she, you know, she had the kids, and then the kids turned out to be the Young Avengers kids. But
well, in this, it was like Vision
he
was
knew they existed at some point.
Well, this Vision was very adamant, like, you know, these kids are not real. These aren't, yeah, you know, like, really our kids. But so she's saying at the end of the, like, flashback story, which is most of the issue, she's saying how, you know, she clicks with Wonder Man because he, you know, Vision's was based off his brainwaves. So, you know, she thinks that that's why they get along so well, because he's practically the same as Vision. So she wants to give Vision that same gift that she has received, where Vision can have someone that he also, you know, is like a soulmate that he clicks with. So she gives Vision essentially like her, you know, brain pattern, her, you know, her essence. And she says, so maybe you could use this to make yourself a companion that would be, you know, a version of me, so that way you can have the same happiness that I have. And looks like that's how, you know, Vision made his wife.
Huh.
Hmm.
And in the last panel, it shows Vision and his wife in bed, and Vision kind of has like this look on his face, like he's just, you know, realized that everything is going to end up very, very badly for them. And he it ties back to the very beginning of the issue where he told you know, Wanda this joke that he heard from who was it? The Wasp. And he tells his wife the joke to kind of see what her reaction would be, and that's right where it ends. But yeah, it seems like a lot of the things that happened in the relationship with Wanda, we're starting to see parallels with him and his you know, machine wife.
So basically,
now,
Wanda in a way created like a crazy robot.
Wanda gave him the ability to make
a crazy robot.
Yeah.
Who kills Wonder Man's brother.
Yeah. Yeah,
but it's Wanda.
This book
huh.
is
that has That like just very one of the most interesting plots.
This book is very close to being like a
I've
horror
ever heard
book.
In my yeah. life because he's never had that much of an interest. In.
Yeah, it was really a really cool issue and really great aesthetic to the like the way the art was. I can't remember who was
how
on
did they bring
art.
Him back to life, like he was dead. Remember him ever coming back?
Who?
Vision.
I don't know.
He died.
He
in,
just
kind of
showed up.
Disassembled.
No,
yeah,
Tony
was,
Stark.
Tony
had
Stark was working on him, and all of a sudden he just sat up and he was back.
This
it was during the Ultron, Age of Ultron.
Yeah,
he got really blown up though, and disassembled. He was.
Yeah, Tony Stark just had him in the basement,
yeah.
and when he found you know a few free minutes,
because it was crazy. Like he had all these Ultrons inside of him, and then he opened up and shot him, and then She-Hulk just tore him in half. He was.
He was pretty well dead.
Yeah, I don't know. But it was good. This has been a really great series. One of my favorite books out of all the out of
that's
my
Tom
entire
King,
list. It is Tom King. I forget who was on art this issue though.
Oh, is it different?
Yeah, I guess.
How many more issues does Tom King have?
This goes
going,
this goes to 12. Yeah.
So it'll be two.
This one goes to 12.
Well, will it be two trades though? This case?
It should
trades?
Be.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's not. That's
I don't
not
know how
right.
many issues are in the first trade.
The artist they have that Comixology is showing is not their correct artist for this issue. They're showing the artist from the previous issues.
I like the first issue, or I read the preview when Marvel had all those previews for All New, All Different, and I thought it was pretty good.
Well, they put the full Vision number one in a book, and I forget which book it was.
Yeah.
Spider-Man.
Next book, Swamp Thing number 5 of 6.
I didn't get a chance to read that, but I haven't been enjoying it.
This one is better.
Is it?
Yeah, this one was better than the previous couple have been.
So I'm a little behind on
it. So Alec Holland's trying to find a way to, you know, undo the mess that he has kinda, you know, helped create. He gets saved by the Parliament of Trees. In this, so whereas you know Matt Cable tried to kill him, the Parliament kind of saves his ass, and they are you know telling him how big of a mistake he made, and that he needs to find a way to correct things, and he hopes they can just give him his powers back, but they can't do that. He has to find a way to fix this himself. So he then. Encounters the Phantom Stranger, who also says he can't directly help him, but he thinks he might be able to point him in the right direction, so he then takes him to Nina Parbat, where Alec Holland thinks maybe he can get the hand back and use the hand again. They're insisting that the hand, once its powers have been used, that it's, you know, it's useless. But he still ends up stealing.
It's like a monkey's paw, isn't it? Like, yeah. It's one of the things that closes the fingers.
I think it looked like a human hand.
Yeah, maybe it was. I didn't remember what it was at the beginning.
But this issue wasn't bad. Only one issue left of this series.
Hated this series. I just got
just,
a little behind because I was
of,
a little bored with the last.
It's
issue,
had a
so
lot of ups and downs. Especially like the art. In one panel, the art will be really you know great, and then you'll see another panel where they're showing faces and people, and it
they're
looks
off.
Really really off.
Disproportionate.
But panels where you're seeing just like Swamp Thing in the environments or, you know, Phantom Stranger, it has a very, like Lovecraftian kind of look and feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
But no, this was okay. I'm curious to see how it wraps up. I have no idea how this book fits into the greater, DC universe. There were a few things like referencing other things that happened in previous,
Well, they mentioned the Parliament
books.
Of Trees, you said. So,
mentioned the Parliament of Trees. Mentioned stuff with Metropolis.
Is it older?
Yeah.
So, oh, I thought that.
That's more.
Is it more?
Parliament of Trees.
Yeah,
oh,
I can't remember.
Okay. I wasn't sure if it was more if it was Vaughn. Whenever he did his
run.
Oh,
could be. But yeah, I know. I just know that's
Paramore. Starfire number 12. This is the last issue of that. This
and
is a good.
You could say that was always planned as a 12.
Yeah. This is a good issue. They get back from this, like underground civilization, and they find that time passed kind of, differently, and they've been gone for longer than they thought. And when she gets back, she finds that her situation has kind of changed drastically. Like, she has to find a new place to live, And she lost her jersey. She lost her job at the aquarium because she was gone for weeks and they had no idea where she was at, so they had to hire someone else.
That happens when you're gone for weeks.
It does. It does.
Was she upset?
She was bummed out, but she understood.
That makes sense.
So because of how things have changed drastically and because of some of the threats that occur because of who she is, she decided that maybe it's time that she leaves Key West and maybe tries to, you know, find other people that are like her, superpower people.
Sounds like it's leading into Titans.
I think so, yeah. And see if she can, you know, learn from them and you know, grow. So this was kind of like the, you know, the goodbye issue. She's, you know, tying up loose ends with everyone. And they have a going away party for it. It was just a, you know, not a whole lot happened. Just like a good send-off issue for. This has been good. Same creative team as Harley Quinn. I liked it better than Harley Quinn because it wasn't quite as, you know, just complete wacky and slapsticky as Harley Quinn was. The art has been fantastic on this from day one. So, yeah, it was good. A good run. Rocketeer at War, number 3 of 4. So, this we have Cliff and this British agent trying to infiltrate this German like castle where Betty's being held. I don't think Cliff knew that she was being held there. They were trying to, you know, infiltrate for other reasons, but they end up encountering a German version of the Rocketeer. I forget what his name was, but it was fun. Not a whole lot happens. Once they find out that Betty's there, it's just, you know, Cliff Secord battling the Nazis. Very pulpy action. He managed to rescue Betty and scoop her up and scoop up the British agent in there. You know, this cool like chase scene between him and the German version of the Rocketeer. But yeah, this has just been an okay miniseries. They said nothing, you know, particularly exceptional, but not bad. I mean, just a good, you know, again, pulpy Rocketeer
does
story.
Does Dynamite do that book?
No, it's IDW.
Dave Stevens is another one who died before his time.
Yeah.
Should mention him too.
Mm-hmm. Ninjak number 15. Ninja K number 15. So this is part 2 of the Siege of King's Castle arc. So in this issue, we have him kind of trying to figure out why he was, you know, burned, why he was targeted, and everything was taken away from him. Finds out that Weaponeer was involved with it, which is the organization he was against in the beginning of his series. And he is taking the fight back to them. My issue is that to me it was going to be interesting to see someone's your phone Siri decide to kick in.
No,
hey Siri seemed
to.
But think
I had
that
the volume. I had it silenced.
No, but for whatever reason, yeah. I thought someone
Siri
summoned it.
Play Cookie Waking playlist.
Oh, I would die if a playlist started playing right now. So he's taking the fight to Weaponeer. And he's very successful in what he's doing. And I kind of was interested to see, you know, this guy who has unlimited resources. I kind of wanted to see him struggle a bit without, you know, having everything at his disposal and see how he would get by without it. But this, he seems completely fine. Like, he seems like he's not even fazed at all by not having all of his normal, you know, gadgets and endless funds at his disposal. Which, I mean, it just seemed a bit rushed to kind of jump to that point where he's, you know, able to infiltrate this organization and, you know, use these disguises and get whatever he wants without any sort of resistance at all. We find out that Roku is behind all of it. She's the one that pushed this organization to target him and, you know, blow up his house and kind of tarnish his identity.
What a jerk.
Yeah, she's a jerk. She has razor sharp hair.
She's like Medusa. Razor hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This...
She is cool.
She is cool. She's a cool character. Listen, I've liked...
Still a jerk.
I like this arc. It just, it seems like things are moving too quickly. Like, it seemed like there was no real struggle for him. He had a little bit of a struggle in that first issue of the arc, but this issue, everything seems, you know, fine. And there's only one more issue in this arc left, so it feels like they are resolving it very quickly. I wish it was drawn out a little bit more. I feel like a lot of times we're saying that things are drawn out too long. This, I think that Matt Kent's kind of blowing through it too quickly. But it's still, you know, it's still a good read. It's still a you know, enjoyable book. My complaints are just, you know, minor. And Green Lantern Corps, Edge of Oblivion. Any of you guys read that?
I think I did. No, I didn't read it. I'm behind on that. That's why.
Okay. So, this... we found out that the two... I forget what they're called. The two big beings. They're called, like, Black Knights or something like that. That they're actually, you know, manipulating everyone, and they are the evil force, and they are able to kind of, I don't want to say directly control people, but definitely influence them to do, you know, what they want, or to kind of protect them or not engage them. And the previous issue, whenever Guy Gardner ran out to you know, alert them of the plans of the of like Kilowog and the other Lanterns, we found out he was kind of under their influence. So this, you know, he's back to his senses, and he kind of formulates a plan for how they can strike against them without, you know, having to directly engage the, like, John Stewart and the other Lanterns who are under their influence and protecting them. So he realizes they still think that he's under their influence, so he kind of, you know, infiltrates them and essentially, you know, plants a bomb to kind of throw things off. At the same time, the other Lanterns that were far off managed to, you know, make their way to this planet and find that, you know, Gardner and Kilowog and their group are fighting against Stewart and his group, and they kind of intervened to you know, prevent them from killing each other. And while this happened, we found out that there was a distraction, so that way they could revive Mogo and bring Mogo back into the fight against these, I think they're called Black Knights, these Black Knights. And at that point, whenever Mogo, you know, comes back and blasts them, we see they reveal their, you know, who they truly are, and they're like these, you know, crazy, like, big monster creatures that were just, you know, in disguise as these, you know, humanoids. But it's been an interesting book. There's only one issue left, and I would assume that this issue, the last issue, is going to have them make it back to the main universe, but the solicits for the Green Lantern, or Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps rebirth book, makes it sound like it's going to be more of a prolonged thing of him trying to figure out what's, you know, mm-hmm. going on with the other Lanterns or where they're at. So I'm curious what's going to happen in that last issue if it's not going to fully resolve things. But it's been good. I've been enjoying this. I find this have to be much better than the Lost Army miniseries that was the first half of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's... Oh, okay. Sorry, I do have one more. 4001 AD Exo Manowar one shot.
Talk about that. Yeah.
It was at the top of my list. I forgot about it. I like this.
So did I.
It was a very quick read.
It was. Yeah. Reading it, I'm like, wow, this, nothing really happened, and it ended very quickly, but then the whole point was the end.
Yeah.
And how the end tied into 4001.
Yeah, wow. So this was showing...
I'm assuming where that piece of armor came from.
Yeah. Yeah, this was showing the initial response to New Japan,
right?
Whenever Father, because I guess in the Ninjak Book of Death issue, we saw New Japan taking off, and we saw where the Spylocks came from, and how Ninjak was trying to stop New Japan from taking off as a satellite, and it looked like he stopped things in that issue. But then we knew from, you know, reading Rai that New Japan still existed. So this kind of filled in where this New Japan that we have now came from, and it looks like it was, you know, on Earth, and Father, who is this, you know, sentient AI, this live wire nanite fluid, decided to, you know, he took over and launched the initial settler of New Japan into space, and the reaction of the other countries was to build a weapon to, you know, combat that threat. So they talked to Exo Manowar, and he agreed to let them, you know, use his armor to try and create these mech suits that they could use as weapons against New Japan. So all the countries make their own version of this Exo, you know, Manowar like mech suit. It was kind of cool seeing the different the different look of all the countries.
Well, Pacific Rimmy.
Yeah, mech suits. And they launched their attack. The U.S. One had some problems, some glitches.
The doors.
The doors were jammed.
It wasn't his fault, though. Like,
what's that?
It wasn't his fault, though.
It wasn't his fault. It looked like it was by design. Like, it looked like Father was, you know, intervening. Because as these mech suits went up to, you know, confront New Japan, we found out that Father was very prepared for them, and it was kind of a slaughter or a massacre of all these, you know, these suits from the different countries. And once the U.S. or the American pilot realized what was going on, he was going to enter the fray, but decided that, you know, nothing good could come from it. So he thought he would hide the mech suit, so that way, you know, they could use it in the future if need be. And that's ties into, like Colin was saying, where they found the suit in the in 4001. It was cool. It was a cool, you know, filling in some background info. Like I said, it was a very quick read. Definitely not essential to reading 4001. No. It's just a nice supplement.
Yeah.
No, it was good. I liked it quite a bit. And that is it for me. Pat, can I have my iced tea?
Go ahead.
Action 52.
I read that.
Yeah, it was they resolved with the Great Ten from China, and they end up heading back home. And the, I don't know, what do you want to call fake Superman? I guess that'd be
Energy
Superman shows up at Lois and Clark.
The White's
house. Yeah. The pre-52 Superman's house. And Superman, he's just dressed in flannels, and he's serving dinner.
He was cooking breakfast for dinner for his son.
Yeah. And all of a sudden he shows up, and like, I know what's going on. I know everything that's going on.
He just sits down and has a conversation with him.
And he snaps on him, and then they start fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and then Superman.
Well, he threatened his son. That's when the fight
broke out. That's when it began.
At the same time, we have New 52 Superman.
Seven problems
with Batman and Wonder Woman. They're in the Batplane because his powers kind of flaked out.
Yeah.
And they sensed, or on the sensors, they saw a spike that looked like it was that energy Superman. So they're going to track it down. And that's how they ended up encountering, you know, the fight between.
So they all kind of know each other exists at this point, which is interesting. But it was good. Badger number 4. You guys read that, right?
Yeah, I did read the
Badger. Yeah, I did. Yeah, actually, I did read that.
As insane as it is, I'm enjoying it. The one thing I don't like is all the people with the different accents. Almost offensively doing, especially the Chinese accent or the Vietnamese accents, and it just, but it's
Russian
something.
Written,
it's
almost in Cyrillic.
Well, I don't mind that, but then when he was talking, like, it's in Cyrillic when they're talking to one another, but when Putin was talking to Badger, it was almost hard to understand.
It's a caricature of how they would sound, yeah.
Yeah, but basically in this one, Badger has to return the demon tongue to Putin in exchange. He'll let the female band go.
Crotch rockets.
And so when he gets there, everything's fine until Putin decides he wants the Badger has to fight him and beat him in order for them to do that.
Yeah.
So they end up having a fight, and Badger beats him, and then Badger is then proclaimed the Wizard of the East. He then comes home going, what the heck is going on? And when they get home, the demon whose tongue he had returned has Ham in his clutches. But it was insane. There's one more issue, I think. Where is all this cloning going? You know they have to bring that in. It's just it's fun insane.
Yeah.
But yeah.
More insane than fun. And it's a very different tone than even the first issue was.
Yeah.
Like if you look at the first one to now, it's like I don't know how we got here.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah. This one I kind of actually enjoyed with just how totally nuts it is. My goodness.
Yeah. Black Panther 2. I did not enjoy this issue. I forget what I said. Joe, actually, after reading it, Joe F., asked me to drop it from his list. And I'm like, I feel like I should be enjoying it. I'm not. And I felt like I was like being, it's not preached to, that's not the right word, but just talked to the entire issue is this is what you should be feeling. Yeah, it just wasn't enjoyable, and it was just everybody talking and stating their position and da 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 da. And I couldn't even tell you what happened now. It was not enjoyable. Hopefully they turn it around because it's getting so much press and everything. But this one was just, it was like a chore to read. And when you were done, you were just like,
who's on that book?
I have no idea how to say his name. Tanise something. And I mean, the art's good. It's Brian Stelfreeze doing the art. But yeah, I just felt very talked to. So, fix number two. Okay, this one is nuts. I don't know if anybody's reading this. The first one is about these two crooked cops and all the stuff they're doing. Well, at the end of that, it turns out now they have to do a favor. Something, they did something wrong. Now they have to do a favor for the mob boss, and basically they're not going to survive the favor. And so this one is them trying to figure out a way out of it, or they have to get this dog somehow. There's something about getting a beagle. And it ends up the one guy has to shoot the other guy in the hand, or he has to shoot the other guy so that he's off active duty so that he can get put on a lower detail, which he wants to go on to the canine corps because that's where this dog is and everything. So the guy's like, well, hang on, let's see. Well, if I shoot you in the hand, that won't be too bad. You know, you don't need both hands. And the guy, you know, there's lots of fun comments like, well, I like to change it up every once in a while. And so he shoots him in the hand. He's like, well, now you got a little hole in there. He's like, I couldn't even get my finger in that hole. He's like,
does he try?
No. But it just goofy fun. And the police chief knows what's going on. And then the guy with the hand finally gets down to, and it shows one thing where there was this one guy who was supposed to be, who previously asked for the canine detail. And he's like the nicest guy in the world. And the one guy basically sets him up for this old murder so that he can take him out of the way. And then, so the guy with the got shot in the hand goes to the dog, and the dog just like is barking at him incessantly, like hates him. And it's just this showing him standing there with this just barks, you know, all around him. So that was fun. It's bizarre. This one's Nick Spencer and Steve Lieber. And then the only other one I watched was Twilight Children, which we kind of talked about. Also, I just for fun, I took out from the library Arkham Asylum and read that during my kids' orthodontist appointment. That was pretty bizarre.
Like the Grant Morrison?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is really bizarre.
Yeah, the very Vertigo-esque.
Really bizarre.
As I'm reading, I'm like, I'm not enjoying, I don't know what's going on, but then at the end it kind of all wrapped up.
Yeah, you have to stick with it the whole way through.
Yeah, but I definitely felt like I was reading Sandman again. Mm. But not as good. Like, I think Gaiman did a little better job. With stuff like that.
He had a bigger canvas to work with.
Yeah. But it was interesting reading the Kieran Berger stuff, and where it was originally a 64-page book, expanded to 128 because Dave McKean needed more to
those layouts. Store were crazy. Yeah, that book.
Yeah. So, but yeah, great. That was my Monday. So it was Monday. I watched Fantastic Four, and I read Arkham Asylum. I felt like I was getting some filling in holes from my past that I had never had not filled. So, Adam.
I read Legends of Tomorrow. No, you didn't. I read that. 3.
Okay. How's that been? I haven't read 2 yet. I really like number 1, enjoyable. But my problem is, as I'm trying to burn through these on a Tuesday night, that's a big book.
Yeah.
It has a lot to it. Like, Josh was saying that the other week, that it has...
Well, you were saying you like the Sugar and Spike the most, which was probably the least.
Yeah, it surprised me quite a bit. I had no expectations for Sugar and Spike, and it's just, it's a fun... section, like seeing them
you know, look at all these, you know, wacky things from the past of these characters and turn them into, you know, like little private eye, you know, cases. Yeah, it's kind of neat. That, and I think the Metal Men
story is really issue good.
Have been my favorites.
The least favorite of mine has been Firestorm.
This Firestorm issue was better than the previous.
It was better.
The previous two.
This one dealt with a lot of Professor Stein and Ronnie just dealing with each other. I can't remember what they went to.
Yeah, so Jason can't be joined anymore.
Yeah,
he
because of what Stein.
He had some problems, so Stein.
I read this one earlier on in the week.
Stein did something to
that's why help him out. I read the Tuesday. The
I week separate before this we book out
him,
up
so,
a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, Stein did something to help him out, but in the process made it so that way he couldn't join with Ronnie anymore. So that Stein is now joining with Ronnie.
And they've been having trouble because, like, Stein kind of wants to take control of the situation. But
he doesn't quite understand
the dynamic.
Actually. Yeah,
and it causes a lot of issues. So, yeah, there were some interesting parts in that. I really liked Metamorpho, actually.
This issue was better. I wasn't liking the previous Metamorpho issues, but this one wasn't bad.
This one, he goes... from the ending of the last one had them going into, like... They put that orb up, and then they somehow that transported them to another world where they were discussing in this book that it was probably like another dimension or something like that. You learn that Stag, is that his name? Yeah. Has made a deal with Kanjaro. And we learned about that in previous issues, but Kanjaro is following the power source, and he's after that orb. And then you learn a little more about the orbs on this dimension and where the Egyptians got them and stuff like that. And that it was a prophecy that Metamorpho was going to show up. I don't know. I've liked it. I kind of like the character of Metamorpho. I think he's kind of unique. So I've liked it. Sugar and Spike has really just been a good, fun book. Mm-hmm. And I even like the art. The art just fits the book really well. And this one dealt with Wonder Woman, and I was a little thrown by what she was trying. I guess she was being blackmailed, right?
She's being blackmailed. I'm not familiar with the original story.
Yeah.
But Wonder Woman got married, or almost got married, to, like, this monster kind of... Yeah.
It's on 60s.
Yeah. Kind of guy. But he was actually a shapeshifter.
Yeah, almost looked like Beast Boy.
Kind of.
Like Beast Boy, yeah. I was like,
looked like Beast Boy meets a vampire.
Yeah.
He was a shapeshifter, and they didn't actually get married, but he is going to be going on some talk show with, you know, proof, quote unquote proof that they got married.
Yeah.
And he forged a marriage certificate and all this, so they're tracking it down and investigating. And Wonder Woman said, you know, just, you know, go on a fact-finding mission, don't engage him at all, but they, of course, engage him, and things escalate. But, yeah, like, this Sugar and Spike has been looking at things from, you know, like the, you know, 60s, 70s, wacky things that have occurred in these characters' past, and, again, turning them into, you know, cases that they have to investigate.
They have to go find something. They're
like, they had to find, in the first issue, they had to find, these wacky costumes that Batman had that were stolen.
Yeah.
And in the second issue, Superman had this island that was shaped like him that he
was hiding kryptonite.
Had a vault where he's hiding all the kryptonite at. I mean, it's just fun.
This one, what is her full name? They gave it to it on that. They were calling him Miss... She was like...
Oh, I forget.
But she was angry throughout the whole issue.
Yeah, she's always angry.
Yeah, but this time she was just really angry. The fact that... The point that she was just, like, shooting people. Or, like, she shot one of the aliens just because she wanted results. But that she was just wanting results, and it wasn't happening quick enough, and she was tired of dealing with it. That even, like, when she shows up with... You know, saying it's done, you know, to Wonder Woman on the satellite, Flash confronts her, tries to joke, and she just isn't in the mood to be joking, so he kind of walks off like, you know, what did I do? And then you learn at the end that it was her birthday, and Wonder Woman knew, but Spike had no clue that it was her, forgot that it was her birthday, and I think that was what the whole anger was about. Yeah. And, it is. It that has just been a not. A, I don't know if it was a surprise, Because some of this stuff, like, that's unique sometimes is... And it, I mean, Prez was a surprise, but when you after Prez, I was just like, you know, anything kind of different like that, I'm kind of going to try to accept and see what they can do with. And I think that's what they kind of did with this book. The last one was Metal Men. Metal Men has been really interesting because they've added characters like, if you remember, Doom Patrol was the, what was his name, Roboto?
Oh, Robot Man.
Robot Man, that's right. Robot Man, who was...
Very always, complicated name, but yeah. Yes.
He almost looked kind of like, back then, like he could be one of the Metal Men. Well, they kind of combine, they kind of take his story saying that he is
Cliff
designed...
From Doom Patrol.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was designed in the same way as the Metal Men, that there's no internet, like, connection to them, so he can't be hacked by nobody. Was it nobody?
Nameless.
And, so they go to him for, you know, help and stuff like that. He gives them the
girl has no name.
That's where I was thinking too.
They give, he gives them the ship that I swear they used that ship in Doom Patrol. It was like a flying saucer kind of thing. I always thought that was their thing, but I can't remember, if it was or it wasn't, but. Gives them a ship to go with. They have to go after Red Tornado, who has been taken over by Nameless because of, you know, being able to connect to something that he was able to take over Red Tornado. And they go to stop him, and they were able to stop him by eliminating error by turning into a big jar. And they capture Red Tornado in this big jar, and it eliminates the error, so he can't move anymore. They're able to disconnect him from Nameless, but it's really fun. I've really liked Metal Men. I hope they do more because I always kind of liked Metal Men.
Yeah,
you know, they're a neat idea. They try to modernize them a little bit. I think that's what they're kind of doing, but they're kind of sticking to the how they used to be.
This of like all that. The books within this Legends of Tomorrow mythology,
yeah,
feels the most modern.
Yeah. It fits in
this
a lot
one feels
better.
like a contemporary book, whereas the other ones feel like they're definitely tying back into the past.
Yeah, they really do. I mean, even though Firestorm kind of has some subtle mentions of things from the New 52 run, it still feels like...
Which is surprising, because this is written by Len Wein.
Yeah.
So it's not... I mean, I would expect him to be writing a book that felt more like the older books.
Yeah, it really does. It could fit in
almost like a Swamp Thing book does.
I hope they do. I hope they make this Metal Men into a book. I hope this had some success, so they will. But yeah, it's fun. So that's it.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Holy cow!
So what's coming out next week, Colin?
Everything. This is like my biggest invoice of the year, only because it's a combination of my Free Comic Day reorder. And a huge week. In the week, not just that, but it's my reorder and then just stuff that I've had on order. Everything seems to be coming in. So, next week, Afterlife with Archie number 9. Sabrina came out today.
Wow.
Well worth the wait.
I don't know if anything's worth a 9-month wait or an 8-month wait or whatever it was, but we'll
it was
say.
Good. I enjoyed it. Afterlife with Archie 9. We have Amazing Spider-Man 1.5. I honestly thought this was done already.
What did you say?
Afterlife with Archie 9.
Next week?
Next week.
I thought that wasn't supposed to be till June.
Next week.
Yeah.
Next week. Well. It's on there. Well, it's almost June. It's a week from June. No, I will not shut the front door. Batgirl 52. The last of that Batgirl run. Bloodshot Reborn 13. Captain America Steve Rogers. The first one of that spinning out of the Free Comic Book Day issue. Daredevil number 7. The next part of the Elektra story. DC Universe Rebirth number 1. And they're sending us some neat stuff. We get a counterbat, which I guess would work if I didn't have the glass. Well, no, if I didn't have the glass. It's for, like, counting change and stuff.
Oh,
on.
Okay.
And an open and close sign. I'm sure it's just a little plastic turn, not a fancy one.
Did I
see any of this?
DC. Oh. Disney Magic Kingdom number 1. I know Nick is looking forward to that. Divinity 2 number 2.
Yay.
Extraordinary X-Men number 10, the next part of the Apocalypse War story. Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, which they're serializing the graphic novel. Okay. Flash 52, last issue of that one. The Image Plus Extras number 2, the next part of the Negan. Imperium number 16, Joyride number 2. I really enjoyed Joyride. Justice League 50, the reveal of who the Joker is.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't like it.
Moon Knight number 1, getting the second print in. So if you missed out on the first print, the second print's coming in. Ms. Marvel number 7 is starting its road to Civil War 2. Nighthawk number 1, because you demanded it.
Who demanded it?
Somebody demanded it. That's why they're doing a Nighthawk and a Hyperion book. Hang on. Sorry. They're doing a replay of the goal. I apologize. I was vamping as long as I could, but it's a really long replay. Who's that? Kessel. Nice. Omega Men number 12, which is the last one.
Yeah.
The new previews comes out next week. Scooby Apocalypse number 1 is next week. If there's a certain cover you want, please let me know, because there are only 8, so I had to kind of split my order. I still think I ordered way too many, but Spider-Man Deadpool number 5, I know Pat's thrilled with that. Also getting in 1 through 4 back in, so if you missed any of them, I have those coming back in.
I'd be surprised about that Scooby book, though.
Oh, I think it will do well, but I think
really good.
Yeah, but I think in the end I ordered 2039. That was quick. Star Wars number 19, Superman 52, Final Days, Superman Lois and Clark number 8, the end of that run, and Tokyo Ghost number 7.
Yay. Is that the last part?
What, Tokyo Ghost?
No, the Superman Lois and Clark, that's the last part.
Yeah. I think that was only 8. So, that was just bad defense.
No, but I mean, is that part 8 of the...
No, that's Superman 52 is the last part. That's worth. Things are apparently bad things going to happen. So next week is a little bit different.
He's going to die.
Everybody hold on to that issue. It'll be worth something.
Oh, absolutely. Day, like, absolutely. That's why I ordered 10 times what I normally order. No.
Good. That's smart.
Yeah. I'll bag them. Next week we're doing the midnight release. So on Tuesday night at midnight, you can buy all these great Marvel and DC books. DC is doing the midnight release for Rebirth. Marvel kind of jumped Marvel on and Marvel. Said, you can also sell all the Marvel books, which is fine with me. So anybody that comes to the midnight release is going to get a free copy of the midnight release party or the midnight release party variant edition of Rebirth. However, like I've already said, you're going to get a free Rebirth if you pre-order. Well, that'll count as your free Rebirth. I'm not giving everybody one of each cover.
That's
come on.
BS, man.
Giving you two free books? No. Give me a break.
I didn't know it was a different cover.
Yeah, there's a different cover. Yes. Well, that's the main cover, and then the cover of the preview book is the midnight release variant.
All right,
remember, it had the hourglasses?
We'll have an offline discussion on this matter.
What, you wanted both covers?
I don't know if I want that cover.
No, it's not that way.
I didn't know they were both, but let's discuss offline.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
So you guys will never.
We'll discuss this offline.
Alan ain't here anymore. Yeah.
I don't know what all the rules are about
Adams Comics.
That's been a podcast.
I don't know what the rules are for all the other publishers. Hopefully we'll get a little clarification, like if we can sell Image and IDW and stuff. But yeah, I'm assuming we will be able to, because what's the point?
Wouldn't that be awful if one of them was just like, no? Like Image was just like, no.
But I don't know any other stores that are...
For Image.
Off the top of my head, I don't know if any other stores are doing a midnight release. I know Dan at Southside isn't. Because I told him not to steal my idea, because he steals all my ideas. And he said, don't worry. What? He does. He steals all my ideas. Like, I'll look on, he's having some promotion. It's like, that looks awful familiar.
Your promotions are groundbreaking.
Though. No, but... Not groundbreaking,
if
but different.
If he has a Festivus promotion, though.
No, but he did it. He does temperature sales, things like that. So, I think I was the first one to come
up with
that.
I mean, he did work here. You groomed
him. Right. Oh, exactly. So I'm going to open.
You, like, licked him and pulled the lice off his head.
Ew, Colin.
I guess that is a weird phrase, saying you groomed someone.
Yeah.
I didn't make it up. I didn't say it.
You mean you really did groom?
I am going to do, there will be, I'm going to open at 11, and from 11 to 12, I'm going to do 25% off.
Everything?
Right now, all DC graphic novels, but I may up that until, and then like until midnight, and then at midnight you can buy the new books. So we'll be doing that. I'm only going to be open to like 12:30, so don't plan on coming down at 2. No, there won't be cake.
12:30.
Yeah,
I get everyone rung in.
Well, whatever. I just don't want to tell people I'm going to be here till 1, and everybody's done at 12:20, and I'm literally, because this happened the last time we did a midnight release, and I was basically sitting here for 40 minutes just waiting for the clock to tick.
It's a party. Why did they leave?
Well, it was probably only like four of us at that one. No, not just that. Well, for that one, but there was a midnight release after that for something. I don't remember what it was, but I remember it was not nearly as well as well received.
You do a midnight podcast?
Well, that's what we did last time. Last time, everybody came in and read it, and then we podcasted after. They read Flashpoint 5 and Justice League 1. That was one of our, that was like top 10 podcasts, first 10 podcasts was doing that. So if you guys want to, we certainly can do that. I'm up for it. I'll be here anyway. Wednesday will be a little rough, but hey.
It was fun.
Some of us don't have it off. So that's what's going on next week.
Get a better benefits package.
Well, I could close on Wednesday.
Get Tim.
Yeah, well, Tim will be here. So that's the midnight release party. I'll nail everything down, and I'll do either a special email, or I'll just include all the details in the regular Tuesday night email. So if you're planning on coming, I mean, come on down. Hopefully it'll be fun. I remember it was a lot of fun at the New 50. Did I do cake or anything? I don't remember doing it.
I did something.
Okay.
I don't remember what
I'll think
it was.
About it.
Batman, can I just make cookies or something? Like
yeah,
that?
Maybe something a little simpler than making a cake, because the cakes vex
maybe
me.
Maybe we need coffee.
You made the cake?
No, I had Giant Eagle make a cake, and they don't making cakes.
The
and
Marvel
don't,
Now cake.
Don't, yeah. I don't want to go
Marvel
back there.
Now.
That's what it is. Because they wouldn't use this. They sent you a thing.
Yeah. Oh, DC
they
sent
like,
me a thing for this, but it's like.
They were just like, the license, we can't.
It's like, oh, you know, we'll take it down to Walmart. I'm like, I'm not driving all the way down to Walmart.
Well, Giant Eagle wouldn't, though.
Yeah, no. Well, Giant Eagle wouldn't, but. So we'll have some more information about that. So I'm hoping it'll be fun and exciting.
It will be. We'll make it fun.
Yeah, we'll make it fun. But yeah, I will not be here from close until midnight.
We'll
I will be going home.
Reading. All
right. No. I hate you. I hate you.
Comics Rebirth Theater.
Yeah, all right. See, how come you're right? He will do it.
Khan
can
be Wonder
show,
Woman.
He won't do it.
Gabe
do it
can be
us.
Batman.
Dave's
Batman.
We need to tone it down now. Colin is at his boiling point.
No, I'm just stop. So that's for as far as what's going on next week. Yeah, just stay tuned for more details as I hammer everything out. I hope it'll be fun. I'm excited about Rebirth. I mean, it's an 80-page giant, so there's going to be a lot there. I will sneak a read earlier, just to warn you. Yeah. No, you won't. Yeah. And there are some variants. I'm getting 3 1-in-100 variants. So if you want one of those, maybe I'll do something fun like raffle one of them off.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Because
those are what, $50?
Yeah. Got to offset my large expenditure on free books that I'm giving away that you guys aren't good enough.
That's not what anybody said.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Why are you going to take me out? You're going to rub me out.
That's not what anybody said either.
Adam said he was going like that.
Offline discussion.
Okay. He wants to bring it online.
No.
No, because then he might really end up as being a D along with Franklin.
Oh, jeez. Man.
Steve Pyman.
Steve Pyman.
Where can they find you, Colin?
I was getting there. But yeah, always check the website at PittsburghComics.com and Facebook. I always try to put a lot of information on Facebook, just Pittsburgh Comics. At PGH Comics if you want to see a lot of hockey tweets. But I do, I've been working really hard on retweeting creator tweets about their books and things like that. I've been really working trying to do that because I think that's the best promotion you can get for some of these books is with the creators doing the work. Well, not the work, but they're promoting their own stuff.
Yeah.
And I know you probably don't follow everybody. I don't follow everybody, but so there.
I didn't see anything on the website, but is there like a sale or anything going on right now?
Yeah.
In conjunction with a movie?
There's nothing on the website.
You could do it on the website.
I am not your content manager.
Get the guy out.
I said I would be.
Yeah. Yeah, we're doing double points on all X-Men books in honor of whenever X-Men Apocalypse comes out at some point this summer. But we're doing that right now through the end of the month, but it may get extended.
What are you going to do for Suicide Squad?
I know what to do right now.
Yeah, but you can't throw me out the window.
Double points on X-Men.
For Suicide Squad.
No.
Yeah, that'll be brilliant. That'll be brilliant. I think that no one would ever see that coming.
Everyone gets a free copy of Battle of the Atom.
No. Well, if I have any extra issues left over. No. But also, if you're interested in the Rebirth stuff, yikes. It is still up on the website if you want to sign up for any of the Rebirth books.
The June ones.
The June ones. I'm not doing anything for July only because there was only 11 books. So that comes to $33, and it's like, oh, if I save you 10%, you're going to save $3.
But we can still put on the website.
People want to sign up. But yeah, I'm not doing anything because, with 20, I can make it a little more interesting than with 11. That's all.
That's a podcast.
We'll talk to you next week or even on Tuesday if you want to come by. See ya.